is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! And a great run. He's in trouble. He is dropped. Kyle Williams dropped it. Oh, baby, what a hit. Tyrod looks. Tyrod on the run. Nobody in front of him. Touchdown! There's T-Mobile.
He's going to come through.
Sammy in the end zone. Got it! Got it! Touchdown! Sammy Watkins. Touchdown, Buffalo! McCoy. Touch to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive. This is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
We are back at One Bills Drive. Good afternoon and welcome. My name is John Murphy alongside Donald Jones here for the next 3 hours to talk about Bills football. And talk about that game last night, the preseason opener, the Bills 17-10 loss to the Minnesota Vikings. We were both there, Donald. We both come away with a number of impressions. My overwhelming impression is preseason, kind of a mixed bag, some good, some
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, right? Especially the first preseason game. You know, it's everybody's trying to get their feet underneath them. You don't even, I mean, you've been running routes and everything in practice, but your emotions and everything is so different once you get to a preseason game that it takes you a second to get back underneath you. And then by the time that second is gone, you're out of the game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's hard to evaluate too hard, you know, too much in depth because, you know, players are in and out of the lineup quickly. The starters only play a little bit, but you can get some impressions. And I know we had impressions of guys going in. Some of them were held up by what we saw yesterday, and some of them were a little bit different than what we anticipated, I think. And we'll get into all of that today on the show. We're here for the next 3 hours from noon until 3. Got a pretty good lineup, too. Coming up in just a minute, Eddie Yarbrough, who I think made a big splash, safe to say, right? Eddie Yarbrough made a big splash in the start last night. The first year defensive end. He's going to be live in studio with us here at One Bills Drive. That's coming up moments from now. Coming up at 1 o'clock, we'll get the great Chris Brown, Bills insider, BuffaloBills.com, in for his analysis of what went down last night out on the field at New Era Field. And coming up at 2 o'clock, interesting guest. I'm looking forward to talking to this guy. Robert Jones played linebacker in the NFL for about 10 years. His son is Zay Jones. His other son is Caleb Jones, who plays wide receiver and played wide receiver last night for the Minnesota Vikings. Robert Jones is going to be with us in studio at 2 o'clock. A lot to talk with him about, including his sons, about his career. And he played on 3 Super Bowl winners, including two Cowboys teams that beat the Bills.
Man.
Yeah. Pretty good linebacker.
I don't know if Bills fans really want to hear from him.
Well, he's Zay Jones' dad. We'll talk to him about those games, the consecutive Super Bowl losses. So that's the lineup today with Eddie Yarbrough just a couple of minutes away from joining us here in studio. But in the meantime, we're here to talk with you about last night's game, your impressions of the game, and our Twitter engagement today. It's not so much of a poll as much. You just want to take your temperature. If you watched last night's game, if you were here in the stadium at New Era Field, perhaps you were watching on television or listening on the radio. I want to get your thoughts on how the Bills did in that 17-10 defeat to the Minnesota Vikings. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. What did you like about last night's game? What did you not like about last night's game? You got your choice there, because I think there's enough to like and enough to dislike about the game. We're going to get into that a lot more at the bottom of this hour, but you know, fans of the Bills can pick out some stuff that they thought went pretty well, and fans, close observers, can pick out some things in that game last night that they and say with complete honesty, that's not going to cut it. That's not going to be good enough.
There was one thing that you liked about this game that has nothing to do with on the field, and that was pregame
stuff. DJ Milk was great. Our buddy DJ Milk was outstanding, I thought. Pregame music for, I think, about an hour and a half or so.
Yeah.
Right? When when people were filing in. I thought he was really the pregame star of the night, didn't you?
He was great. He's playing good music. The system is loud, though.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Like, if you walk past those speakers, it's like, whew.
Yeah.
It's rough.
And they the good thing about DJ Milk was that, you know, the place was really bumping for a long time. And then this is what I didn't like. When they shut down DJ Milk, there's some energy lost in the stadium, right? Didn't you think?
A little bit of energy lost
in the stadium when they shut him down. So, but that was one of the good things, I think. DJ Milk, who is, by the way, the disc jockey as well out at training camp. I thought he did a good job last night.
Is there a league rule against having a DJ in the stadium during the game?
I'm not sure about that.
Because, you play music anyway, right?
Yeah.
Throughout the course of the game. So I wouldn't see why there would be a problem with having a disc jockey out there.
Yeah, right down there where he was, 50-yard line. I think he moved his operation up. In fact, I'm pretty sure he moved his operation up to, you know, the booth upstairs where the music and the game presentation comes from. So I thought he did a great job. It was his first game too, DJ Milk, who's been on the show. We've talked to him on the show a week or so ago. And he does a great job out there at training camp, and I thought did a great job at the game last night. We'll get your impressions about last night's game, the Bills and the Minnesota Vikings. But while we got a break here, the Bills players were in today, this morning, bright and early for conditioning. They've got a practice late this afternoon. They have a little lunch break going on right now. And joining us in our studio right now, a guy who made a pretty good impression, pretty good first impression for his preseason debut, Bills defensive end Eddie Yarbrough joins us in studio. Hi, Eddie.
How are you guys doing this
big
morning?
Big smile on your face.
Yeah,
you feel
right?
Pretty
so.
Good about last night, huh?
Yes, sir, definitely, definitely.
Tell me what you thought went well for you last night.
You know, definitely got the pass rush going early and the get off. And really with Kyle and selling those guys inside, I definitely felt comfortable. They did a good job of kind of walking me into it.
Now, the coaching staff has been talking about you all throughout training camp. And fans, it's hard for us to really watch because you're not actually getting – you're not tackling the quarterback, right? So it's a little bit different in training camp practice. But once you get to the game, it's like, man, this dude is – he's out there actually making plays.
You know, definitely. That's one of the things that our coaches emphasize is that, hey, you know, it's live bullets now.
Yeah.
Especially as us as defensive end and defensive linemen, we have to stay up on the quarterback in practice. You can't be out there trying to take down Tyrod or anything like that. We got to protect him. But like you said, live bullets and be able to actually take the quarterback to the ground and run and tackle people live, it's definitely an experience.
Eddie, you were with the Broncos a year ago, right?
Yes, sir.
Through training camp? Did you last through the whole
yes,
camp?
Yes, sir. So I went all the way, made it all the way through training camp, and then unfortunately the last cut, they snipped me. So.
Mm-hmm. And you played in preseason with the Broncos?
Yes, sir, I did.
So last night was not your first preseason game?
No, sir, it was not.
But to be in the starting lineup, I would think, was a big deal, especially you told me in the locker room last night, you look to your right and you got Kyle Williams and Marcel Darius,
yes, sir.
And knowing that they will, you know, that they're good, quite frankly.
Oh, definitely, bona fide, and really kind of the guys you want to model your game after and hopefully have a long longevity like that as a career. And again, you look to the right and see those guys. As for me personally, it definitely gave me some more confidence, kind of a little pick-me-up.
Now, those guys play well off of each other, and they talk about it all the time, how they play off of each other. You, as a guy who made your first start in the lineup last night, how hard is it for you to get in there and have to play off of Kyle and Marcel?
You know, that's one of the things that makes them so unique, Kyle and Marcel. They did such a good job of saying, like, hey, Eddie, these are some of the ways we do it. So, say I'm running a stunt. Like, hey, I'm not on this D-line. We don't say, hey, you know, you go high, I go low. They say, I'm going to give you a look and just know.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that Kyle and Marcel are kind of teaching me as going to the game and before the game. So, definitely did a great job of kind of walking me into that so I wasn't kind of dropped into the boiling water.
Right.
With Eddie Yarbrough, the Bills defensive end, who got the start last night, and it was only a couple of plays into the game when you brought down the quarterback with that sack on Sam Bradford, 3rd and 7. Tell us about that play.
You know, so earlier in the drive, I had a speed rush, and I knew I almost got the quarterback that time, so I knew that he was going to be threatened by my speed. So I decided to fake like I was going inside and then try to turn a tight corner, and fortunately, he bit on it, so I got that tight edge and was able to bring him down.
Now, where did you learn how to do that, how to set up plays like that?
You know, I couldn't give it to any guy specifically, but definitely just through my career, Coach Smock, you know, my high school coach, Coach Cooper, Coach Montgomery, and then definitely a lot of the things as far as, like, turning an edge or turning a corner, I learned from Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware last year being in that camp with those guys.
I was just about to say, I mean, you had two of the best in the game
100%.
To learn from last year.
Definitely. And like, even with saying, like, Kyle and Marcel, those guys, me last year being a rookie coming in and having my locker across from DeMarcus Ware, a known Hall of Famer, know he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, and for him to say, hey, Eddie, you know, there's some things you can do to kind of turn a tight edge, and me, I'm just trying to be the biggest sponge possible to absorb everything, so
right.
Definitely can give those guys some nods for helping me out in that
situation. Von Miller hosted a camp out in California this
yes,
offseason. Were you able to get out there?
No, I wasn't. Unfortunately, I was at an event in Colorado, but
I
was invited. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it on ESPN.
Yeah.
It was a great, for pass rushers.
It's like a pass rush clinic.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Eddie Yarbrough, our guest, Bills defensive end, who came up with a good game. I think the stat line was, what, 3 tackles, 2 sacks, right? One sack, couple of quarterback pressures. Pretty good. Have you gone into the film room yet and looked at it?
No, sir. We're watching film later this afternoon. But as my uncle once told me, he said, you never did as good as you think you did.
Oh,
you never
yeah.
did as bad as you think you did.
That was going to be my next comment.
Definitely.
You never did as good as you think
exactly.
you did.
So you always got to go watch the tape, and you can always get better. So definitely excited to go out there and make some corrections and try to take an even bigger step forward.
Sean McDermott was asked about your performance last night, and I think we have that comment. The head coach of the Buffalo Bills at the podium last night was asked about Eddie Yarbrough. What did he think? What did he see in Eddie Yarbrough's Buffalo Bills debut? Here's what the coach had to say.
A young player that has worked extremely hard, and this wasn't the first time that he has flashed. And he earns it. He really does, and that's going to personify or typify our football team. He's one of the first ones in the team meeting every morning, and he's got flashcards. He's drilling himself mentally. So his success on the field tonight was not a surprise to those that know him, and I'm really happy for him.
Coach says you've earned that. That has to feel pretty good.
You know, definitely. But as Kyle and Marcel say, it's not a destination. It's a journey. So, and you for sure know it's not a game of, you know, what'd you do last week? It's what have you done for me lately? So Can't really dwell on the past. You got to keep moving forward and keep trying to get better every day.
So as we talk about keep moving forward and getting better every day, we all know Coach McDermott likes versatility. He likes guys that can play multiple positions. Yesterday you played at the left defensive end spot. Could you move inside? Could you flip over to the right side? Do you feel comfortable doing that?
You know, in college, we actually ran a 3-4, so I'm comfortable playing that inside technique. But at the same time, in high school, I played linebacker. I'm trying to always play defense my whole career. So right. I'm definitely comfortable, especially I feel more than confident with Coach Waffle being my coach. He'll get you right anywhere he wants to stick you.
Eddie Yarbrough, our guest, had the big game last night against the Minnesota Vikings. Overall, Eddie, Donald and I are going to talk a little bit later on in the show about what went well for the Bills. I thought the first-team defense, of which you were a part last night, did a really good job against the run, and that was something I know that Coach McDermott was sort of focused on improving this year.
You know, definitely we have to be an attacking defense, and that's one of the things that, again, Coach Waffle really preaches is that play downhill, downhill, downhill. Don't reset that line of scrimmage, and that was one of the things we really tried to hang our hat on last night going forward.
And against a pretty talented Minnesota team, pretty decent offensive line, and the rookie Dalvin Cook could run pretty well, too.
Oh, definitely, definitely, definitely a hard runner. And I'm excited for that team. You know, they were a great offense that we competed against last night.
You said something last night. We were doing post-game interviews in the locker room about, you know, and I could tell you were excited, but you talked about growing up Grandview High School and what this all meant to you. Can you elaborate on that? What were you thinking of? What was going through your head as far as your journey to last night's game and your journey to the NFL so far?
You know, It's been quite a journey. A lot of people that I was with have been in my situation and kind of thrown in the towel and given up. But, you know, I just stayed diligent, stayed training, and really just tried to be a sponge. Anybody that gave me the time of day to let me train or to give me some ups or anything of that nature, I really just tried my best to put my best foot forward, and unfortunately it's paying dividends.
In your situation, you were cut from the Broncos last year, took a year off.
Yes, sir.
Now, how hard is it for you to say, okay, I'm going to keep training, but I got to get some money coming in here?
Oh, 100%. You know, it's that's one thing I feel like a lot of people don't really understand about the game is that if you're not playing football, you're not getting a paycheck. So right. It's definitely a humbling experience, but also it's you can use that as a driving force and really some energy because, you know what it's like to be on the couch and not be out there playing and be out there on third down. You know what it's like to be at home watching on TV. So definitely gives you a little bit more energy and motivation.
What did you do this past year after you were cut by the Broncos?
So after I was cut by the Broncos, I immediately started training. I thought I was going to get picked up by another team to get a call. When that didn't happen, I went up to the CFL just to get some practice reps against the Calgary Stampede. With Coach Mace up there doing a great job with that D-line up there. Also taught me some things. And then from there, came back down and started working out. And then, fortunately, Coach Waffle brought me in for a workout, and the rest is history.
You have a good speed rush off the edge. What other things do you like to do? What other tools do you have in your toolbox?
You know, definitely, Coach, one of the things Coach Waffle preaches is long arm, sword fight, which is either your inside arm.
Yeah, I see
really
y'all
get that
do that all the time.
100%.
Like all the time. In every drill, y'all are all with
definitely,
the one arm out.
Definitely. And then, so
what
speed
to
pound.
What is that about keeping blockers off?
Yeah, so pretty much if an offense, if you get into an offensive alignment, especially in 2017, they're going to wrap you up. Right. You're pretty much dead in the water. So one of the things Coach Waffle teaches is to get that extension. When you get that extension, it really makes it hard for the offensive line to hold you because you have such length on it. So that's one of the things he definitely preaches and drives home for us.
Now, you have these dudes, especially tackles, that have these huge, these long arms.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so how do you counter that? Like, how do you work against that?
So you would think that you want to keep like kind of a barrier between it, but you actually want to do the exact opposite. You actually want to close that distance between you and that offensive line and maybe get them off balance. And then, again, get that extension because if you let him have that barrier, he's back. You're making him his life easy because he doesn't. You're not making him be an athlete. And that's one of the things Coach Waffle wants us to do is come into our world, move like us, make you play defensive end. And that's one of the things we try to do.
Eddie, I noticed you came off the field. You had some trainers and doctors around you. It looks like you got a little cut underneath
the
nose.
Yeah. So it was actually the very first play. I think I got a hand inside my face mask when the offensive line put their hand inside my face mask. Gave me a scratch on the nose, and then actually I had my nose was bleeding. And this was after the very first play, first start ever. So I'm like, oh, here we go. Let's ride. Definitely.
That'll wake you up a little bit,
100%.
It's like the welcome to the NFL moment.
Definitely.
Yeah. Tell me about your journey to University of Wyoming. Colorado, and how you got to Wyoming, how they brought you up there.
You know, University of Wyoming is a great school. I can't even explain or describe to you how – just great of a school that, especially football wise, because you know it was outdoors, not that huge, it's not a UCLA, but the coaching staff, Coach Bowl and his staff are doing such a great job. And even my guy, Jacob Hollister, for the tight end for the Patriots, he had a really good game last night. And you know, they just do such a great job of developing the players and really a blue collar school, the hard working, we're not going to have too much flash from Wyoming, so definitely a hard working school. You're going to get that. Kind of that gritty, hardworking player, and that's one of the things I can appreciate from Wyoming.
Did Dwan Edwards go there? I know he's from Wyoming, but I don't know if he went to Wyoming.
I'm not sure. You know who went there and played there and actually coached here just 20 years ago, the Super Bowl era, there was a coach, Dick Roach, who coached defensive backs. You know that.
Coach Roach. Roach room and everything. Yes, sir.
Yeah, you would know him from Wyoming then?
Yes, sir. So he actually still every once in a while comes in the weight room and everything. He has a room actually dedicated to him up in Wyoming. So he's a big deal. Yes, sir.
He is a big deal. He was a great coach here in the Super Bowl run. I mean, he had some good players. Obviously, they're going to Super Bowls, winning AFC titles. And he had such a great attitude. When you said about Wyoming being laid back, I think Dick Roach might be the most laid-back person I've ever met. You know, you just talk real slow. And
yes, sir.
Talk real low and not say too much. But when he did, he was on point and he was hilariously funny.
Yes, sir.
Now, speaking of coaches and laid-back coaches, we had your coach, Coach Waffle, on the show. And the first thing we always bring up is Hard Knocks from last year. So you coming into this season knowing that he was going to be your coach, before you even had a chance to really meet him, what was your thought about him?
You know, coming into it, of course, Coach Waffle, he's an amazing coach. And going into it, I was like, you know what, definitely have to see what this guy is. Because, you know, he has that kind of that aura about him. So coming into it, I was like, let's see how this guy reacts. But it was funny. He actually told us a story about Hard Knocks and everything, especially with Ian being in the room and stuff like that. So it was just real funny, definitely.
Eddie, you know, it's a good start, but there's a ways to go here. But 100%. It seems to me the door is open to you in a couple of ways. I mean, last night, Shaq Lawson, not ready to go with his groin. Brian Davis has been banged up a little bit. There's a door of opportunity for you here. You have to think that. Maybe last night when your head hit the pillow, you're thinking, okay, this is going okay, and there's a chance here.
Yes, sir. Definitely, you know, definitely got to take it one day at a time. You can't get too ahead of yourself and really just trying to put one foot in front of the other and can't really think next week, last week. You got to just think – like Kyle Williams told me, just worry about today. Worry about what you can do to get better today and just let everything else take care of itself. So that's what I'm going to try to do
going forward. Third time you've quoted Kyle Williams in the last 10 minutes.
I'm a sponge. I'm just in my mind, anything those guys say, I'm right here, writing it down like, okay, got it.
Kyle and Marcel.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And Marcel's funny, too.
But Kyle can be funny. Oh, my goodness. Hilarious. both of them.
Do you get to speak to Lorenzo? I mean, I know Lorenzo plays linebacker, but he comes down on the line of scrimmage and he rushes, too.
I'd honestly say, like, he's probably my number one mentor in the team if I have a question or anything like that. Because he's been in the situation. I'm sure you know he has such an amazing journey and such an amazing story about his career. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that you can definitely – I go to him a lot for advice and leaning on because, you know, he's been – cut I don't know how many times and still at now to say he's had this long career and stuff like that, you know, it's definitely a person you could go to for some wise and advisement.
Eddie, we're happy for you. Glad to got off to a good start. I know there's much more work to come, including meetings and practice today.
Definitely.
Right?
Just get better every week.
Yeah.
Just get better every week.
In fact, McDermott said you're always the first one in the meeting room, so you don't want to you know, you make sure
you don't switch up.
Oh no, you know, it's consistent. Consistence. That's I'll quote Coach Bowl on this one. My Wyoming coach, Coach Bowl says, consistency breeds excellence, and that's one of the things I got to be.
I'll tell
consistent.
You one mistake that I made. Now, I came into this thing undrafted, right? So, you know, my first year, I'm catching passes, play wide receiver, I'm catching passes, and I always would run 10, 15, 20 yards down the field after I catch it. My third year in, you know, I'm a starter now. Like, I'm the number two wide receiver on the team. And the one mistake I did, I would catch passes in practice, and I would run 3 yards, you know. And the head coach brought me in the office, and he showed me film from my first year and film from yesterday in practice. And he was like, I don't want to see this again. He was like, you should be doing the same thing you did when you first made this team. So that's just a lesson for you.
Yes, sir.
You know, like, don't switch anything up. If right now you're the first person in the meeting room, your entire career, if you make this team and wherever you end up,
yes, sir,
be the first person in there every single day.
Yes, sir. I take that. Yes, mm-hmm. sir.
I love when Donald dishes out advice. I do. You sound like an old guy.
I know.
Let me tell you, it wasn't my day.
Eddie, like 5 years ago.
Yeah, right. A couple years ago. Eddie, thanks. Good luck. And we hope to get you in here again sometime.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Eddie Yarbrough, the Bills defensive end, had a big game last night in the preseason opener. What did you think of the opener? We'll take your phone calls, 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550 or on Twitter. Donald and I will talk about what went well for the Bills, what didn't go so well, and we'd like to hear your thoughts on that as well. Back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Peterman lofts one into the end zone looking for Des Lewis. He makes the catch down in the corner. No ruling yet. Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown! Nathan Peterman to Des Lewis. Touchdown, Buffalo!
Welcome back to the show. The lone Buffalo touchdown last night. Good pass by Nathan Peterman to Des Lewis into the end zone for the touchdown. Getting newsy around here. A suspension, 6-game suspension for Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott. It goes from an incident back in July 2016, a domestic violence incident. The defending rushing champion in the NFL suspended for the first 6 games. That is a major setback for the Dallas Cowboys, Donald.
That is huge for the Dallas Cowboys. I think it changes everything about their team. 6 games is a lot. That's almost half the season, you know. So I think he's a huge part of their offense. I don't think that Dak Prescott will be the same without having Ezekiel Elliott next to him, because now you don't have that true threat of a bona fide, you know, soon-to-be superstar running back in this league. You don't have that next to you. So now the team doesn't have to respect. They don't have to respect your passing game. So I don't know. Or they don't have to respect your running game. Yeah. So they'll. I think that's huge for that team.
I do, too. Eddie Yarbrough, a delight to be around, isn't he?
He is.
He's a good kid, comes in here with a big smile on his face. He should be happy, but I also think it's funny how he keeps quoting Kyle and Marcel.
It's crazy, right? Like, you get these young guys that really are sponges, you know? First of all, his personality is just amazing. When he walks in, he has a big smile on his face, like, automatically. But then when you hear him start to quote guys and talk about how much of a sponge he is, it's great to hear, you know, because you get so many young guys when they come into the league, and I know we're going to talk about this later on, but so many young guys when they come into the league, they're not sponges. You know, they think they know so much. They think they know everything, and you have these young guys that, especially guys that have been cut once, I think that had a huge effect on him. You know, he got cut, and he's like, you know what? Let me pay attention to every guy that's around me that has been successful in this league. I'm going to pay attention, and I'm going to do what they tell me to do.
Yeah, well, hopefully it keeps going for Eddie Yarbrough. We hope it does. The evening got started last night at New Era Field with the Bills being brought out onto the field through the leader of the charge, the veteran that they bring back to stand on the podium above.
An old guy, some old dude.
Some old, grizzled old NFL veteran. And last night it was your turn. Donald Jones was the leader of the charge, and you stood up there waving the flag as the 90-man-strong Bills roster charged
it was a lot.
Out onto the field.
I kept looking down and like, is everybody through yet? And it's like, so many people had to come through there. Are they done yet? But it was fun. It was great to walk down with my son, for him to be able to go up there with me. You know, it's not too many parents that can say, it's not too many kids that can say that they went up there with their parents, you know, and did something
your son
like that.
Probably doesn't really remember you playing here.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't remember me playing here. So for him to be able to do something like that is great, you know. And that's really all I want for him is just experience different things like that.
And it was a beautiful night, and you're standing there, and the crowd's filing in, and the team's on the field. And pretty cool.
It was fun. It was good to be up there. It was good to be down. It's always good for me to get down on the field and, you know, for the fans to see everybody. Everybody's excited. I mean, when I was standing down there waiting to go up on that platform, there were so many fans that like, oh, I'm so excited about the season. I'm so excited. So, you know, that excitement is really starting to grow. You can feel it in the air, and you could feel it last night.
So that's how the evening got started, and then the evening played out, and the Bills lost the preseason opener to the Vikings. We want to talk with you about your thoughts on the game. We'll give you our thoughts on the game. The phone line's open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550, or via Twitter at John Murphy Show. What was good? What did you not like? Donald and I have a couple of thoughts on that. What we like, what we didn't like from last night's preseason opener. Let's start with what we liked, Donald. Let me start with one of the things I liked. I liked the pace of the Buffalo offense last night, in and out of the huddle quickly. Really, all three quarterbacks did it, and right down to the third teamers. In and out of the huddle, the plays went in quickly. There didn't appear to be too much indecision, no timeouts needed to reset or figure out, you know, what are we doing here. And I thought they ran plays at a pretty quick clip last night. It's not no huddle, but I think it looked crisp. That was one of the things we talked about yesterday. You know, you're looking for crisp execution by the starters, and I think you got that for the most part. You didn't get a ton of production, but I think at least the pace was good by the offense last night.
I think so. I think, you know, last year we had a few different paces to the offense, and I'm not talking about in the course of a game. Throughout the course of the season, you know, with the first offensive coordinator and then change over to Anthony Lynn, and that was one of the things that we always talked about, like, man, why does it seem like they're moving so slow?
You know,
what is going on here? Like, are they getting the plays in late? Like, what is going on? Yesterday, you didn't have that. You didn't have that feeling at all. The plays were coming in. You didn't have quarterbacks out there looking confused or anybody really out there looking confused, and I like that about the offense.
All right, give me something you liked from last night's game.
Something that I liked. Ooh, there was some good. I think the first thing that sticks out is the running game. You know, the running game for me, even without LeSean McCoy, looked like, especially the first team, they looked like it's going to be a good season, a good running game again this year, you know. And I like this zone scheme about the running game. I like letting these running backs be able to cut back. And the cutback lane was so open all night especially for the first team. It was open for Jonathan Williams. He looked good out there in that cutback scheme. Even Mike Tolbert, he had a chance to cut back, and he had a good run where I thought he was going to just lay a safety out.
Mm-hmm.
He took it easy on him a little bit, but I liked the running game from last night.
All right, so what we liked, what we didn't like, let's hear your thoughts on that. 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. Donald and I talked about a couple of things we liked. Let me give you something that I wasn't crazy about in last night's game, Donald.
Okay.
Let me find it first. I had it here a second ago. You know, obviously the Bills weren't a great team last night. There were things that I thought didn't go well. I thought the return game was a little shaky,
right,
both kicks and punts. They didn't get much production out of it. They tried a couple of different guys, Ross and Tate, and return work, and I don't think really, and it, not just them, but I don't think either one of them distinguished themselves. I thought the return game was kind of shaky last night.
I have to agree with you. You know, I don't think, number one, the decisions weren't good out there. You know, I mean, they were bringing kicks out of the end zone that they shouldn't have brought out. They were staying in the end zone when they should come out. It was just bad decision-making on the back end. And then you had one that was dropped. You know, then he had to take a knee. He looked like he wanted to come out, but he dropped it. He had to take a knee. I think on the returners, it didn't look good out there.
What
it didn't
about
look
you?
Crisp.
What did you see that you did not like last night?
Pass pro was something that I didn't like, you know, and it started with the first team, you know, not the single guys out, but Chantrell didn't look good on the left side against Griffin, you know, and we all know that Griffin is one of the best pass rushers in the game. I understand that, but look, every week you're going to go up against one of the best pass rushers in the game, so you got to bring it every single week, every single day that you're out there on the football field, and you know, that pass rush just didn't seem to hold up. And you know, Tyrod, he had to keep on scrambling. I got to go back and look at it and see. We always talk about Tyrod and holding the ball. I have to see if it's the pass rush, if they're getting there fast, or if it's him holding on to the ball. Could be a mixture of both. But then you had the same thing with T.J. Yates, and then the same thing with Nathan Peterman, you know. And so they never really had a chance to settle in and sit back there and throw the ball. So the pass rush is something that really needs to improve.
What we liked, what we didn't like from last night's game. Here's something I liked. I think this is pretty obvious. I think a lot of people liked, including me, a lot of people liked the way Nathan Peterman played. I've seen it in practice, but I was impressed by his poise and the fact that, you know, didn't seem to be rattled at all, first time playing in an NFL game of any kind. Had some nice throws. The touchdown throw to the corner of the end zone was a classic, you know, bucket throw into the corner of the end zone, and Dez Lewis did a good job of going up and getting it. I thought the ball came out quickly from Nathan Peterman, yes, too, which was big. And for the most part, he was accurate. You know, he doesn't have the big, strong cannon arm, but he's pretty accurate. And how about the runs for first downs? He did it, what, three times?
Yeah, I don't remember that being in his, you know, one of the tools in his toolbox, on his resume.
That was not in Peterman's catalog.
It was not in his catalog. But to see him do that yesterday was like, man, this is – I like this. You know, this guy, he knew when to, the one time he scrambled to the right and he threw it to Tywan Jones, Tywan Jones dropped it.
Yeah.
Right? It was a fourth down and he dropped it. That was like a decision where he could have ran it, he could have taken off and run it and got the first down, but he decided to throw it. I think he made some good decisions last night. And like you said, for the most part, he was accurate. The biggest thing is, you know, he's had this knock on him for not having the strongest arm, right? He that's something that people talk about with him. But because he throws on time, you don't even get to see that, you know. There was one throw that we just saw for the viewers on the MSG side. It was on the left sideline, a comeback to DeKeel Shorts. He threw the ball before DeKeel Shorts came out of his break, like literally before he came out of his break. When DeKeel turned around, it was like, oh, I got the ball is right here, and that's what you want to see from your quarterback. And if his arm is not the strongest, that's how he has to play the game. It's good to see him be able to make those throws.
Speaking of DeKeel Shorts, you kept an eye on him, and I know he was one of the things you liked about last night's game, right?
You know, he came down with some good catches yesterday, you know, like that comeback route. He had one on the sideline where it was like, man, that was a good catch. He caught, I think, all of his passes on our sideline, mm-hmm. and it was good to see a young player out there make some plays. A rookie undrafted guy, you know, I have a warm spot in my heart for these rookie undrafted guys to come in and make plays. It was good for me. Plus, you know what? He's from New Jersey, so I kept an eye on him just because of that. And he showed up a little bit last night.
What we liked, what we didn't like. Let's hear from you, CJ, calling from West Seneca. Go ahead, CJ. You're on the air.
Hey guys. Good afternoon. So the two guys that I really liked last night were Eddie Yarborough. You know, seeing him get that sack on the first drive was awesome. And I think he already deserves a spot on the 53, backing up Jerry and Shaq Lawson. And I really like Tre'Davious White. I know we didn't really hear his name, but you know that a cornerback performed well if you don't really know, you know, if he played well or not, like if you didn't hear about him. So I thought that Tre'Davious White played well, even though Sam Bradford wasn't slinging the ball yesterday. And the two guys I didn't like, I feel really bad for Reggie Ragland. He seemed like he was struggling out there. He looked really slow. The one play I remember, he tried getting out of his stance and he fell. And then he over-pursued a tackle in the hole with the running back. So I'm just hoping it has to do with his recovery from his surgery and not because, you know, he's not performing the way he should be. And then Zay Jones, it's not his fault, but he literally only ran with the first team unit. I would have liked to see him play a little bit more with the second team unit to get some more playing time. Hmm. So.
All right. Thanks, CJ. Donald, you had Ragland as one of your likes.
Yeah, I thought
I
was encouraged. You know, we keep saying to be patient with Reggie, right? Guys that are not even coming off of injuries, guys that played last year, still are trying to get their feet underneath them, you know, in a game-type situation. Reggie didn't play at all, right? So I'm one of the people that I will keep on saying, be patient with him, be patient with him. I think he made some plays out there. Like I said, I got to go back and watch the film and really pay attention to him. But I do think he made some plays. He made a tackle in the backfield. I feel like he broke one up, a pass. He mm-hmm. broke up. Was he in coverage? I feel like he was in coverage once as well, mm-hmm. covering a tight end going up the seam. Yeah, I was encouraged by him yesterday.
I did too. I thought he did okay. There's still a ways to go for Reggie Ragland.
Oh, yeah.
Four tackles, one of them for a loss. Obviously still a ways to go. But I think I was encouraged that his knee held up, that I thought I saw explosiveness on the part of Reggie Ragland, which really was what made him such a valuable commodity at Alabama and even in the first couple of weeks of camp last year.
Yeah, and the biggest thing for me was just to see him line up, see his knee hold up, number one, just get out there, let loose, and make some plays. You know, I'm not looking for him to he had that one.
Right.
It would have been a breakup, and it bounced right into the receiver's hands on the sideline. but, you know, I'm not looking for him to come out here and be all pro right away, you know, because I understand that I never tore my knee, but I know so many people that have, and just talking to them, I understand how hard it is to come back from that injury.
What we liked, what we didn't like, of course, penalties were a problem. That's one of the things you didn't like.
It was a lot.
They're always going to be messy games, these preseason games, but some of the penalties were, you know, kind of mind-numbing. You know, you're like, come on, really?
Yeah, like what is going on out there, you know?
10 penalties, 106 yards.
Yeah, you can't have that. You definitely can't have that. You had one penalty. It was like he went high on the quarterback and clotheslined the quarterback. Stuff like that you can't have. Those are personal fouls, 15-yard penalties that you can't have, you know? And we talked about it yesterday.
We talked about this.
Did we talk about this? Do we need to talk about this? those things you really have to correct. I'm sure Coach McDermott in the team meeting said something to
that might
about
be
it.
Topic A.
It might
at the top.
Be. Look, guys, we can't keep shooting ourselves in the foot.
Yeah, that was rough. All right, there's a lot more to chew on this game last night, and we welcome your thoughts, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. What we liked, what we didn't like in last night's preseason opener. Give us a call or weigh in on Twitter, and we'll talk about that. Going to take a break here. We're back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Donald Jones coming to you live from our One Buffalo studio on the day after the Bills preseason opener. They got another one coming up Thursday, the Bills and the Philadelphia Eagles coming up Thursday night in Philadelphia. We want to hear from you. What do you think? What went well for the Bills? What did not go so well? Give us a call, 803-0550. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. Let's work in a few calls here. Donald and I have a few more thoughts on the game, but let's hear from you. Mike in Lancaster. Hi, Mike. What'd you like? What did you not like last night?
Hi, John. Hi, Donald. I like the fact that they threw the Sammy Watkins right away, and he made a couple of catches right away. And I also like the fact that Nick O'Leary played well, because I'm a big Nick O'Leary fan.
Good run after the catch by Nick O'Leary.
And it was a tight end screen.
Yeah.
You know, and last year I would always say, man, I wish they just threw in a tight end screen somewhere. You know, it was good to see them actually run that yesterday.
Yeah. Logan Thomas is getting a lot of snaps, too, at the tight end spot. I thought he played okay. It wasn't spectacular, but I thought he played okay into the game last night.
He definitely played okay. He had some catches. He had, a couple of catches over the middle of the field. Nathan Peterman caught him in stride. One of them right down there on the goal line that he held on to. He took a hit and held on to it. Yeah, I think the coaching staff likes him. You know, I think he has a good shot. If he can continue to play like he played yesterday, at least on offense. I didn't get to see him in special teams, but if he can play like he played on offense, I think he has a good shot at making his team.
What do you think? What did you like? What did you not like? The Bills in Minnesota last night. Phone lines open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550 from outside Buffalo. Larry and Amherst. Go ahead, Larry. You're on the air.
Yes, I was impressed with a lot of things yesterday, but the one dreadful play that always seems to come to haunt Buffalo is a great 3rd-and-1 inside the 5.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Tolbert ran it, but they didn't pick it up.
Yeah, didn't pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you definitely need your offense to pick up short yardage. We know we would think that Tolbert will be your short yardage back, especially if you have Pat DeMarco and Tolbert on the field. They didn't pick it up yesterday. I would think that the coaching staff is going to talk about that with the offensive line and the running backs and try to get that situated.
What did we like? What did we didn't? What did we not like last night's game? Lines are open at 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550. Our guest a couple of minutes ago, Eddie Yarbrough, got a chance to start in his second preseason. He was with the Broncos last year. We talked at length with Eddie earlier this hour about his performance, but here's what I like about that. I love the fact that he appears to have something to offer. I just love that kind of a story, Donald. And a guy who's been away for a year, you know, kept after it, realizes, as you so aptly point out a couple of minutes ago, that, you know, he needs to make changes in what he did a year ago in order to make a team. I just liked it's developing into a really good story about an underdog, really, a guy who was undrafted from University of Wyoming who came here, really. I mean, I was aware of him this spring. Actually, I made a note a couple of times this spring watching OTAs and minicamp. Mm-hmm. Who's this guy Yarbrough, right?
Yeah, who is this dude?
Yeah.
Especially because we knew that the defensive end, the depth at the defensive end position would be that's something that we had to figure out, you know. So to get a guy, to get a boost from a guy like Eddie Yarbrough, an undrafted guy who sat on the couch last year, all of last year, because he got cut at the end of the preseason, to get a boost from a guy like that, it's a great story, but it's great for this team as well. I think, I'm telling you, if he keeps making plays like he did, he's going to be all right.
So I like that, Eddie Yarbrough. What else did you find last night that you liked in that game, Donald? There was a lot to like, I know, but anything that stood out to you last night?
Man, some other things. I like the kill shorts. Did we talk about the kill shorts already?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, we talked. I like the kill shorts.
It's no surprise, an independent study shows.
I like the way he was catching passes. I liked.
Hey, let me interrupt you, Donald, because there is breaking news. Can I interrupt you for a second?
Mm-hmm.
This is big. This is really big. A couple of trades made by the Bills today. You ready for this? Fasten your seatbelts. Here we go.
All right.
The Bills have traded Sammy Watkins and their sixth-round pick in 2018. Sammy Watkins and their sixth-round pick in 2018 to the Rams in exchange for cornerback E.J. Gaines and the Rams' second-rounder. Sammy Watkins traded to the Rams, Buffalo's first-round pick, fourth overall, a couple of years ago, 2014. Sammy Watkins has been traded to the Los Angeles Rams along with a sixth-round pick. In exchange, the Bills get cornerback E.J. Gaines and the Rams' second-rounder next year. And another trade, believe it or not. The Bills have traded cornerback Ronald Darby, second-round pick a couple of years ago, to the Philadelphia Eagles. Ronald Darby goes to the Eagles. In exchange, the Bills get wide receiver Jordan Matthews and the Eagles' third-round pick next year. Sammy Watkins, Ronald Darby have just been traded away by the Buffalo Bills. In return from the Rams, the Bills get cornerback E.J. Gaines and a draft pick. And from the Eagles, in exchange for Darby, they get wide receiver Jordan Matthews. We got to process that.
Yes, we
that
do.
That comes out of nowhere.
Can we go back to a commercial or something?
Brandon Bean's going to talk about it at 4 o'clock today. This is real. This is not fake news.
This is not fake news.
Sammy Watkins, fourth overall pick a couple of years ago, traded away today, just now, to the Rams in exchange for a cornerback, E.J. Gaines. And the Bills send Watkins and a sixth-round pick for Gaines and a second-round pick next year. And Ronald Darby, starting corner for the Bills last couple of years, second-round pick for the Bills a couple of years ago, traded to the Eagles for Jordan Matthews and their third-round pick. Bills stockpiling some picks here and getting players who can play. Jordan Matthews is a good player, and E.J. Gaines has been a good player. Also getting some draft picks. If you look at it now, with the trade in Kansas City on draft day, the Bills now with two first-rounders, and with the two trades just announced, they right now have two second-rounders and two third-rounders. These are blockbusters. These are trades that don't happen in the NFL. Right. Sammy Watkins traded away to the Rams. Ronald Darby traded away to the Eagles.
Yeah.
We got to think about this for a few minutes.
Yeah, I do have to think about this.
But let's hear from you as you process that. Brandon Bean, the GM, is going to talk to the media today at 4 o'clock, a couple hours away. Sean McDermott available at 4:15, about a half hour before Bills practice today at 4:45. But that's big. I mean, that's as big a trade as we've had in the NFL in a long, long time.
A long time.
And the Bills have traded away two, you know, good players, obviously, two premium players, including Watkins, who was the fourth overall pick in the draft back in 2014, first rounder, coming off the foot injury. I'm pretty sure Sammy made it through the game okay last night. I don't think this has anything to do with with his injuries.
I don't think so. I don't think this has anything to do with the injuries. If you didn't hear anything, I didn't hear anything about his injuries. This is big. I do have to process this. I need to – I mean, Ron – Sammy Watkins, I understand everything with, you know, the contract coming up and the injuries and all of that stuff. I guess I can understand where they're thinking would be with that trade. Ronald Darby, to me, is a little shocking. I didn't expect that one. I didn't expect either one of these. But if there was one that you could expect, it would be Sammy over Ronald.
Shocking trade. I'm more shocked than I've ever been on the show. Last year, when Greg Roman was fired after after the second game. I was stunned that day, too. That was a Friday, too.
Yeah.
That was shocking. This is
stunning.
That was
a Friday, yeah.
This is stunning. Sammy Watkins traded away to the Rams in exchange for a cornerback, E.J. Gaines, and a second-rounder. And Ronald Darby goes to the Eagles in exchange for wide receiver Jordan Matthews and a third-rounder. Absolutely stunning moves by the Buffalo Bills today. I got to think about it. I'm not sure what to make of it.
I mean, think about it.
They have covered themselves, obviously get a cornerback in return. In return for Sammy Watkins, a corner who can play and has played pretty well, and they get a wide receiver, Jordan Matthews, to go along with their wide receiving core.
Right. So you're trading position for position. You also got draft picks, but it's just something that you really have to process. You know, the Jordan Matthews, big body. I have to look into him a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you about him. 6'3", 212, 25 years old, in his fourth season, came out the same year as Sammy Watkins. Jordan Matthews wears number 81 for the Eagles. So he is in his fourth year. Last year, 73 catches, 3 touchdowns. His second year, 85 catches, 8 touchdowns. And in 2014, 67 catches, 8 touchdowns. Big body. You know, big, good possession receiver, probably not a burner. But Jordan Matthews has had production over his first 3 years. He was a draft pick out of Vanderbilt back in Sammy Watkins' year, and he's had a good start to his career. So Jordan Matthews comes to the Buffalo Bills from the Philadelphia Eagles.
You know, the one thing that stands out is you said big body, big possession receiver. You know, and they brought in Anquan Boldin, who is a possession receiver. You brought in now Jordan Matthews, who's a possession receiver. You look at a guy like Zay Jones, who is pretty much a possession receiver. So you don't have now that deep threat that we've talked about. One of the things that Tyrod Taylor really does well, that's something that I really have to think about and look back into who's on this roster, who's going to be the guy that challenges teams down the field, who's going to be that deep threat for Tyrod Taylor to get to. Now, Jordan Matthews is a guy who has had some production in this league. He's been a good receiver for the Eagles, but at the same time, the Eagles for the last couple of years have been trying to bring in receiver after receiver to try to shore up. You know, Jordan Matthews, I guess, was the one guy that has been very productive for them. Man, this is big.
E.J. Gaines has played a couple of years with the Rams, St. Louis and Los Angeles, and started it was a sixth-round pick. Couple of years ago. He's 25 years old in his fourth season now. Last year, started 10 games for the Rams. The 2 years before that with the St. Louis Rams, started 15 games. E.J. Gaines comes to the Buffalo Bills. So let's recap. It's pretty amazing, and we got a lot to talk about now. Sammy Watkins traded away just moments ago by the Buffalo Bills. Watkins and a sixth-round pick next year go to the Los Angeles Rams in exchange for cornerback E.J. Gaines and for a second-rounder next year. Ronald Darby, Buffalo's second-round pick 3 years ago. Ronald Darby traded away to the Philadelphia Eagles in exchange for wide receiver Jordan Matthews and a third-round pick. Well, think about it for 5 minutes. You should, too, and then we'll open up phone lines and get your initial reaction. There's going to be a lot of it. Big move by the Bills today. Blockbuster trade. We'll talk about it when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
You want news from One Bills Drive? We've got it. Blockbuster trades, two of them by the Buffalo Bills, announced within the last 15 or 20 minutes or so. Sammy Watkins has been traded away by the Buffalo Bills. Sammy Watkins traded to the Los Angeles Rams minutes ago. Sammy Watkins and a sixth-rounder go to the Rams for cornerback E.J. Gaines and a second-round pick. E.J. Gaines has been a starter for the Rams. Secondly, the Bills have traded Ronald Darby, their first pick a couple of years ago in the draft. Ronald Darby traded away to the Philadelphia Eagles. In exchange, the Bills get wide receiver Jordan Matthews and a third-round pick. The draft picks mean Buffalo has two first-round picks in 2018, two second-round picks, and two third-round picks. But Sammy Watkins has been traded away along with Ronald Darby, two foundational players, really, for the Bills. It appeared, anyway, going into this year, both of them dealt away just moments ago. We're going to talk about that over the next few minutes here on the show. Bills coming off their loss, their 17-10 loss to the Minnesota Vikings in the preseason opener last night. The Chicago Bears say they're not going to change their quarterback plan after one game. Bears coach John Fox says even though rookie quarterback Mitchell Trubisky played well, he is not ready to demote Mike Glennon after an inauspicious beginning. One preseason game into his NFL career, Jacksonville Jaguars running back Leonard Fournette thinks he's got it all figured out. Says that the game's a lot slower than he thought. He said, playing in the SEC helped me. He said, I think it was really easy. Fournette was the fourth overall pick of the draft out of LSU. And sad baseball news from Rochester, former Major League umpire Ken Kaiser passed away earlier this week. Kaiser was 72 years old, an American League umpire from 1977 to 1999. And that's the update from One Bills Drive. The John Murphy Show with Donald Jones. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive. Got a recap, and then we'll get to some phone. Oh, Ezekiel Elliott. I forgot to mention that. Suspended.
Forgot to mention that piece,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, that's been buried. Ezekiel Elliott suspended 6 games by the NFL following a year-long investigation into whether he violated the personal conduct policy. The league saying that there was enough evidence that Elliott engaged in physical violence against a woman on multiple occasions back in 2016. But the big news here, the big news around the NFL, the big trade. trades.
Man, before you even get into it, mm-hmm. I guess you can get into it. You go ahead and get into it.
No, go ahead. What do you got?
I think we should start knocking on wood or something before we start to say the things that we say, because last week we talked about not having any headlines come out of Bill's camp. And now we get – first you get Anquan Boldin signed, and then now you get, like you said, two of the biggest trades.
It seems to me they're two of the biggest trades in recent NFL history, the last couple of years.
Bills.
For the Bills, certainly. Sammy Watkins traded away to the Rams. Ronald Darby traded away to the Eagles. What do you think? Phone line's open. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. We can take your comments on Twitter as well. Some of the early comments, I'm going to get to phone calls here, Donald, but some of the early comments on Twitter deal with tanking. I don't know how to interpret that. They're stocking up draft picks. There's no question about that. Now, next year, two firsts, two seconds, and two thirds. Obviously, that's a pretty good way to build a roster. But they got players back, guys who can play in these trades. Now, is Jordan Matthews as good as Sammy Watkins? I think production-wise, that's almost pretty close.
Two totally different receivers.
Right.
Definitely different receivers. Jordan Matthews, you know, our buddy Chris Brown tweeted out that Matthews is one of the one of five receivers in NFL history with 65 or more catches and 800 or more yards in each of his first three seasons. The others are, Beckham, Evans, Green, and Moss.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So this guy is productive.
Sure is.
He's definitely productive down there in Philadelphia. He's not going to be a burner for us. He's not going to be the guy who takes the top off of the defense. So that's what I talked about in the last segment. But we do have a guy who is productive, a guy who has also played, and been healthy and been on the field. And I think that's a plus. Maybe that's something that, Coach McDermott and Brandon Bean looked into.
You can interpret it, I guess. I don't know if it's a tank. I don't think it is, because they got players back, guys who play.
It's not like they just traded for draft
picks. Right. E.J. Gaines has started a corner for the Rams since he was a rookie a couple of years ago. Had a Lisfranc foot injury in 2015, but came back last year, 10 starts. He can play in the league. So they got players back in exchange for Sammy Watkins and Ronald Darby. And they got draft picks back. I'll be really interested to see how they talk about it. 4 o'clock, Brandon Bean will talk about it. 4:15 before practice, Sean McDermott will talk about it. But let us know what you think. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. We'll take a call here from Hugh in Buffalo. Hugh, what do you think?
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just hope it's not short-sightedness on the side of the Bills. I mean, the organization has done it before, letting players go or trading them. One example that comes to mind for me is Gronkowski's younger brother. We let him go, and the same day, correct me if I'm wrong, I thought the same day the Patriots picked him up.
Is he even on their roster right now, though, Hugh?
He is. He's on their roster. I looked.
Hugh, with all due respect, Glenn Gronkowski, and comparing him to Sammy Watkins or Ronald Darby for that matter, there's a huge difference here. We're talking about two starting caliber players. Glenn Gronkowski, who I love the family. He is a marginal fringe roster guy. These are players that were traded away.
You're right. I'm just hoping that it isn't short-sightedness, because there are other instances that the Bills have let go of players and they've shined on other teams.
Well, there are also instances where they picked up other teams' castaways and they've shined here, shown here.
Yeah, I mean, they
true. Everybody's going to be talking about this for the next 3-4 days.
Well, I hope for the next 2 hours at least. Just give me 2 hours and then I'm good.
We're good, right? But then after that, because the coach is going to have his press conference at what time?
4 o'clock. Or Bean at 4 o'clock, McDermott at 4:15.
Right, so they're going to have a press conference. We're going to talk about this. We are going to talk about this all season. Because it's going to be like, okay, if I'm Jordan Matthews coming into a situation like this, now I've been productive, so I don't care what Sammy Watkins did or didn't do. But the fans are going to compare, is Jordan Matthews as good as Sammy Watkins was?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's going to happen. And then E.J. Gaines, they're going to compare the same thing to Ronald Darby, at least 2 years ago, not last year's Ronald Darby. But, I mean, you're coming into a situation where people are going to have high expectations of you. And you really have to just block this stuff out. You know, our buddy Joe Biscaglia tweets out that, both Matthews and Gaines have cap hits under $2 million this season, and their contracts are up.
Matthews and Gaines.
Right. So,
Sammy's contract's up. Darby would have one more year. Right?
One more year. Yeah. What's Darby's? What was Sammy's cap hit though?
I don't have that. I don't know.
I don't know. It, it's it's something that we are going to talk about this all year. You know, because we don't know who the deep threat is going to be, that's something that sticks out in my mind. Who is going to be the deep threat? Now you brought in a big body possession receiver. You just brought in Anquan Boldin, who's another possession receiver. I wonder what his thought process is right now. Like, man, they just traded away a guy that I felt like I complimented.
You think they told him?
Probably not.
A couple of days ago?
I doubt it.
He might make a move? No?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I wonder. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Watkins cap hit $6.4 million this year. What'd you tell me, Jordan Matthews?
It's under two.
Under two?
Yeah.
Both those contracts coming up at the end of the year. And we will evaluate as we move through the show their production over each of them in their first 3 years. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Jeff in Rochester. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
When I heard about the Sammy Watkins trade, I was floored because I was really optimistic going into this year. I actually called a couple days ago about playoff chances, what they're going to do. And to lose a guy on his contract year, you know he's going to be productive this year because he's ready to sign a big contract. So he's going to be very motivated. Keeping him healthy is one thing, but very motivated to do something. I can't understand for the life of me why they would do this early in the season. If it was midseason and they were 1-4 or 2-6, I get it.
You know,
it does seem like they're tanking.
I wouldn't say that they're tanking because, like Murph said, they brought players in. Obviously, you got draft picks, but you brought players in to replace these guys, and it's not like you brought in bums.
Right.
You know, you brought in guys that have actually been productive in this league last year. You know, so guys that were going into this year, like, I'm going to have another productive season, you know. And I'm getting text messages from people down in Philadelphia like, hey, man, that's a great pickup. Guys that watch Jordan Matthews all the time, like, that's a great pickup, you know. And so I don't know. I have to go and really watch some film. But we'll just have to see how this thing plays out. I wouldn't say that they're tanking, though. I wouldn't put that word on this at all. And to be honest with you,
I don't think so.
The timing of the trade, I think, is better than if they did it. If you're 2-whatever, if you're 1-and pick a number, now you're deciding to go make a trade. I think they are trying to be on the forefront of something that they might have seen, the coaching staff might have seen, and say, you know what, we need to get a little bit better.
Sammy Watkins traded away today. Ronald Darby traded away. Watkins and a sixth rounder go to the Rams in exchange for cornerback E.J. Gaines and the Rams' second rounder in 2018. Ronald Darby goes to the Philadelphia Eagles in exchange for wide receiver Jordan Matthews and a third rounder next year. The Bills' next year's draft right now have 2 firsts, 2 seconds, and 2 thirds. So, it wasn't a straight player-for-player trade in terms of Watkins and Matthews, but put their numbers up against each other, and I just took a look at it real quick. Sammy Watkins, in his 3 years so far, has played 37 games. Jordan Matthews has more than that. He's played 46. Mm-hmm. Sammy Watkins has 153 career catches. Jordan Matthews has 225, almost 75 more catches.
Right.
Sammy Watkins has 2,459 yards receiving. Jordan Matthews has 2,673 yards. Sammy Watkins has 17 touchdowns. Jordan Matthews has 19 touchdowns. Matthews has played 9 more games, which would account for some of that productivity. They are different types. They both came out in the same year, 2014, different types of receivers. But Matthews has been more productive, you'd have to say, and we all know why, because Sammy Watkins had trouble staying on the field. Eight games missed last year.
He had trouble staying on the field. So
these guys straight up for one another.
What's that?
Trade Matthews for Watkins, Darby for the other guy. You wouldn't ever do that.
You wouldn't do that?
No. Absolutely.
Well, they didn't. And, in fact, yeah, you're right. You probably wouldn't. I think Watkins' potential is greater. But, you know, the Bills also got a third-rounder plus Jordan Matthews from the Eagles. And the Bills, you know, with the other trade, the Watkins trade, the actual Watkins trade, they got a second-rounder. So those draft picks, those are assets.
Yeah, those are assets.
Assets of it. But I was hoping for a playoff team this year. I think by doing this, they eliminated their playoff chances.
And do you think that Jordan Matthews is sorry? Do you think he's terrible?
Yeah, I don't think he's terrible. I think he's a possession receiver that's average. Sammy Watkins could be the best receiver in the league if he stays healthy. He's that good. At least top five in the league.
Right.
He's that good. He's that talented. And, you know, going into this year, we want to hit the playoffs, and him and Tyrod, the first game, you saw it last night, they were clicking.
Now,
it's happened.
The two words that stick out in my mind, which you just said, are if he's healthy and if he stays on the field. I'm sure that that's what the coaching staff is looking at. Regardless if Sammy has been on the field all throughout training camp, let's just say something does happen to Sammy, he's not on the field. Then what position are you in? Now you brought in a guy who might be a possession receiver, but he is a guy who has been on the field.
In terms of possession receiver, yeah, he is. He's pretty good at it. He's averaged 11 yards per carry. Sammy in his career's average about 16 yards per carry. Look, they're different types. There's no question about that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're thinking about Matthews, and does he replace Sammy Watkins? No, because they're different types. But look at the whole mix now, and I'm trying to think of the depth chart here. Anquan Boldin is going to be a part of this team in 2017, obviously. Zay Jones going to be part of the receiver mix, obviously, moving forward.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You probably need a speed guy, and that guy might be on the roster. I'm just trying to get my arms around who's left here after this trade. I don't know.
That's the biggest question, you know, who's left.
803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. What do you think? Give us a call. Let's go to Brad in Rochester. Hello, Brad. Welcome.
Hey, guys. I hate the trade. I'm a Sammy fan. He looked pretty explosive last night. I don't know who our deep threat's going to be now. But regardless, this reminds me of Chip Kelly when he went to the Eagles. First-year head coach. You don't really know how good of a head coach this guy's going to be. Everybody likes what he's doing. I do, too. But this move, I think, stinks. And we won't know for years whether it's going to pan out for us. But when Chip Kelly went to the Eagles, he traded a lot of their great players. And it blew up. And he was gone in, what, 2 years? He was there 2 years gone. And he left the team in shambles. And I'm hoping these guys know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I like the move.
Okay. I hope they know what they're doing, too. You know what we don't know, Donald, as we still try to process this, is, you know, Sammy looked good last night. You know, a couple of early catches from Tyrod Taylor. But the decision makers here and the training and medical staff would know exactly how he's coming with the foot. And,
right.
You know, there's a trust factor. And I'm sure Brandon Bean will be asked this question and Sean McDermott, like, was there something medically about Sammy Watkins' foot and his recovery from the foot that led you to this move today? They might not want to answer that question. You know, you don't want to out there that you might be sending possible damaged goods,
right.
But there's a risk factor. You know, how much will he come back from the multiple surgeries on his foot? I think that had to play some role in it today, whether or not they care to admit it or not later on today. What do you think?
Yeah, the medical side is something that no one would ever know, you know. Like, you don't know until, and God forbid, nothing happens to Sammy. I would like to see Sammy go on and have a good career.
Me too.
But that's something that you just don't know. And like you said, there is a trust factor. Like, coaches have to believe that you can make it through a season. If you are going to be our number one guy, can you make it through the season? And if you can't make it through the season – you know, now what do we have? So now they bring in a guy that has, you know, made it through seasons and been productive down there. Regardless of, you know, the different types of receivers that they are, this guy has been on the field. Being on the field is the most important thing in this sport. Last year, Sammy was not on the field for most part of the season. When he was on the field, he wasn't the same person. And the year before, you know, he was on he missed some games as well. So the fact of the matter is the coaching staff has to trust it. And we don't know what the medical team is saying. I don't know if they were saying that something is wrong, but I would think that that goes into this whole thing.
Give us a call or weigh in on Twitter on the big trades today. A couple of tweets. Resistor in Chief tweets in, the only idiots who say the Bills aren't tanking around the payroll. we are in the payroll. I don't know if they're tanking. I want to hear what the GM has to say. Carlos Santos tweets in, listening to the show, try to spin this trade as not being terrible is laugh out loud funny. Call up and laugh. Laugh at us. I don't care. I'm still processing the trade. I don't think it's a tank because maybe we have a different definition of tanking. I consider tanking as just pushing people out the door and really getting nothing but draft picks in return. They got players today. Jordan Matthews is a player. He's a good player. He has had more production than Sammy Watkins in their brief careers. Gaines, the cornerback, has played. You know, he has played. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Let us know what you think. What do you think of the trade? And we talked about the medical aspect. Mike Garofalo from NFL Network, you know, I don't know where you get this, but he says there were concerns in Buffalo about Sammy Watkins' rehab. That's the issue we were just talking about.
Right.
Issues that we aren't in on, and issues that probably will never be fully explained, not at 4 o'clock today, not at 4:15 when Sean McDermott speaks. I don't know. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. Steve in Orchard Park. Hello, Steve. Welcome. You're on the air. Steve, are you there? We lost Steve. We do have on the line Bills Insider from BuffaloBills.com, Chris Brown, who is eagerly writing and actively writing about this these two trades today. And again, to recap, the Bills have sent Sammy Watkins in a sixth rounder to the Rams in exchange for cornerback E.J. Gaines and a second rounder. And they've traded cornerback Ronald Darby to Philadelphia for wide receiver Jordan Matthews and a third rounder. Chris Brown, thanks for being with us. What do you think, Chris?
Well, I mean, I think it's an interesting swing of two trades. I mean, you've got guys that were in number one spots at their respective positions on this roster. You got players back who may not be quite as dynamic athletically as those two players, but I think there's proven production coming back in the door in form of Jordan Matthews, and I think with respect to E.J. Gaines, it's a player who came back from injury last year successfully in 2016, and will be able to fill a role, I believe a starting role, in the secondary here in 2017. So you moved some top-shelf talent out. You've got talent coming back that at least is proven, maybe not as dynamic, and you got draft picks as well, better draft picks than the one sixth-round pick that heads out the door. So I think you've got players to fill roles and how – you know, we can argue back and forth whether these players can be better for the Bills than the ones that left or not. You know, I think all we have to go on right now are hard numbers. And the hard numbers say that Jordan Matthews has been consistently productive. I mean, he's one of only five players in NFL history to have 65 or more catches and 800 or more receiving yards in his first three seasons. One of the other four that have done that is going into the Hall of Fame and Randy Moss. And the other three are some of the most dynamic receivers in the league, A.J. Green, Odell Beckham Jr., and Mike Evans down in Tampa. So that's pretty good company. You know, and I don't know if Matthews has been utilized the right way in Philadelphia in his first 3 years to maximize his production. So it's going to be interesting to see him mesh with the receiving core here.
Chris, it's hard. Look, Jordan Matthews and Sammy Watkins are now going to be analyzed and compared against each other. A little bit difficult because they're different style. As you mentioned, Matthews, mostly because he's, you know, been healthier, has put up better numbers, more production than Sammy Watkins, but they are different styles. Matthews is
right.
More of a big guy, possession type receiver. I just wonder, you know, what you think. It's not like a swap. Like, we've traded away a potentially elite receiver for this potentially elite receiver. It's a little bit different, a little more nuanced than that, and I think people are having a hard time getting their arms around that.
Yeah, I mean, I think what at least the Bills fans that are reacting negatively, I think they look at Jordan Matthews and they don't see a player that's going to stretch the field, and that's valid.
Yeah.
That's totally valid, and I wouldn't discount that for a second. You have taken away from your deep receiving game by subtracting Sammy Watkins. You've added to your short intermediate game. In this offense under Rick Dennison, the deep ball is not a staple. And I think they're trying to find guys that are going to fit the offense best going forward, not only for this season, but for the seasons beyond. I think they look at Tyrod Taylor, and while he is a very accurate deep ball passer, I think a lot of the play calls in this offense are going to be predicated on getting the ball out fast and using the passing game to supplement what is a very productive run game. I think they're looking for high-efficiency plays in the passing game. That's what this trade says to me. Bring in a guy that, you know, going to average 12 yards of reception, which, by the way, will still move the sticks and keep down the field, as opposed to, you know, making one or two 40-yard plays a game. I think that's the trade-off here. If you don't agree with that, you know, I don't know what to tell you. That's just the style of offense that we're probably looking at here moving forward.
Chris, from a business sense, Sammy, you know, they didn't pick up his fifth-year option, which in retrospect looks like a big red flag. What you believe that they had doubts about whether they would be able to re-sign him, and maybe that was a factor in this trade?
I would tend to think what's at issue here is their lack of comfort with his future playing career going forward with the Jones fracture. I don't think there's any secret that there is a history of recurrence of injury with the Jones fracture, particularly for wide receivers. Dez Bryant had to have two surgical procedures. Julio Jones had to have two surgical procedures for his foot. He still wasn't 100% right last year for the Falcons, though he played through it and then had another procedure for something not related to his Jones fracture, but on his foot nonetheless. And Sammy has had two surgical procedures. When you have that affliction with your foot and you're a receiver and you're putting an enormous amount of torque on your feet to run, cut, drop your weight, get in and out of a break on every single play that you're out there on the field, I don't know if they were comfortable with the long-term ramifications of that, which is probably partly why they didn't give him a 50-year option. They didn't want to commit then, and obviously they didn't want to commit at all. At this point, they got what they felt was proper value in return and have decided to move on. And, you know, it's very clear to me here at the outset, guys, this front office, the head coach, these guys are methodical guys that rely primarily on what they believe are sure things. You look at the track record of every draft pick they had, everyone was a four-year player with a long history of playing time, proven production. You look at what went out the door in Sammy Watkins, yes, production, but on and off the field, lack of availability. And then you look at Jordan Matthews, healthy, on the field, proven production all 3 years in the league. I think that they would take that over a lack of availability potentially due to injury in a more dynamic player. They want the sure thing, and if they can capture that via trade, it's clear they're going to do that, and that's what they did with the Jordan Matthews move.
Now, Sammy Watkins, you know, the number one receiver, I know so many people are right now scratching their heads over that trade. But on the other side of the ball, who probably would have been the number one corner, Ronald Darby is traded away as well. So what do we know about cornerback E.J. Gaines?
Well, Gaines, again, a player that has time in the league, 25 career games. He missed all of 2015 with a Liz Frank injury that happened in the most freakish of ways. It was in a team practice, and the receiver, who's no longer with them now, Kenny Britt, stepped on his foot. It was thought to be innocent. He goes to Dr. Anderson, the foot specialist who Cordy Glenn just saw last week, and he says, you've got a Liz Frank. You need season-ending surgery. So 2015 went up in smoke for him, but he came back last year and was productive. Played in 11 games, started 10, had 7 pass breakups, granted no interceptions. But I think now, after a year back from the injury, now here in his second year, I think he can really get back to some prime-time production, which is what he had as a rookie. I mean, he made the PFWA all-rookie team in 2014 coming out, had 14 pass breakups, a couple of interceptions, and had a starting job as a rookie. So this is a proven player. Is he as athletically dynamic as Ronald Darby? No, he isn't. But I don't think you have to worry about that as much. Darby was a fit for what is largely a man-cover scheme. In what is going to be a heavy zone scheme under Sean McDermott, the value of Ronald Darby is lessened, in my opinion, because you're not going to be in man all the time. I think this is more of a zone coverage scheme, and E.J. Gaines is good at that. So I think, again, you're looking at scheme fit, and you can get a player who is deemed less valuable but fits your scheme and is more valuable to the Buffalo Bills. And so out in the NFL landscape, E.J. Gaines is probably not considered as valuable a player as Ronald Darby. But in this scheme, he will be every bit as capable of filling a starting cornerback role.
Who becomes your number one cornerback, Chris?
Well, it's probably White right now, which I know might sound like a daunting thing, but I think White's given every indication that he can handle that through the course of the spring and through training camp. He's had a solid camp. And again, this is why this front office and head coach Sean McDermott wanted players with proven track records in college. Because if something like this comes down the pike,
you're our number one corner, they're not swallowing hard and hoping for the best. They're ready for it because of their experience. Albeit at the college level, it's going to be a different animal here in the NFL, going against the NFL's best every week. But I think they believe White can handle it. I don't think they make this move unless they believe he could.
With Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. Put the tank talk aside for a second, Chris. There's no doubt the draft picks are a major factor in this. And going into next year's draft, as it stands right now, with two firsts, two seconds, and two thirds, will give this new Buffalo regime an awful lot of ammunition to kind of build their own roster. Just talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, I mean, I think with three picks, you know, here in the top 90-something selections, wherever they fall, based on how the Rams and Chiefs and Eagles do here in 2017, you've given yourself an awful lot of ammunition to do just about anything you want to do. You want to move up the board 50 selections? You can do it with all of this ammunition. You want to slide back and recruit more picks and draft seven guys in round two? You can probably do it. So it just affords them enormous flexibility to do just about anything they want, including going after a franchise quarterback. If after the 27th season comes and goes and they feel they need to do that, they have the ammunition to do that, unquestionably.
Chris, the early reaction from many fans, not all, but many on Twitter, on the phones, is the Bills are, you know, trying to lose. I don't know.
Yeah.
They get players back, good players, especially in the case of Jordan Matthews. I don't know if that constitutes a tank. And you know, listen, the news is 45 minutes old, right? So I'm still trying to process it. But,
right.
You know, there's a lot in play here. There's a lot of moving parts, including Sammy's health, Sammy's contractual status, including you've gone through it all, the potential misfit of Ronald Darby in this defensive scheme. I'm reluctant, and, you know, fire away, if you know, fans, if you must. I'm reluctant to say, well, this is it. They're giving up on 2017. What do you think?
I think this is the hard thing that fans are having trouble coming to grips with. What they see on the surface are two of the most dynamic athletes on the roster leaving. And I think it's very hard for them to see, perhaps not knowing the full skill set of Jordan Matthews up close and personal, not knowing the skill set of E.J. Gaines up close and personal, to say, well, we're going to be okay. I think you cannot argue with the fact that, yes, two of the best athletes on the roster are no longer on the roster. That is not debatable. But I think you can say that what you have coming to you now, at least in the form of Matthews and Gaines, are two capable players with proven production at the NFL level and potentially better scheme fits for what you're going to run on offense and defense, respectively. You did that while also acquiring capital for your future, your immediate future, next year. So I think we have to remember what Coach McDermott and Brandon Bean have said more than once through the course of this offseason and summer. They make moves for both the short and the long term. I think these two trades are the exact example of that. They acquire talent that can help them now and could arguably be better scheme fits, and they acquire capital for the future. To pull off two trades that potentially accomplish both of those ends,
right?
I think is a pretty darn good job. Fans can disagree till, you know, the cows come home about the athletic talent, and I get it. You're probably not as athletically gifted with these two guys coming in, but I think they are certainly capable players that can start and be productive for it.
All right, and I would slightly disagree. I think Jordan Matthews is better than capable.
Yeah.
I think he's a pretty good player, but we'll see.
I think they're starters. I mean, they're starters in this league. So, you know, and I think they could be better scheme fits than the guys that left.
Yeah.
Now, does anybody know for sure? No.
No.
And we probably won't know until we get to probably week 15 to really make an accurate assessment as to what they were able to be for the Bills in 2017.
All right. Hey, Chris, thanks. I know you got work to do. Maybe we'll talk again. Thank you very much.
You got it.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. The fans are weighing in, and we will continue to take your reaction. Are you ready for that, Donald?
I guess so.
We're going to be up against the ropes. Poof,
oh, poof, Murph.
Poof, tank. Poof.
Throwing bullets at me.
Yeah, they're firing real live ammunition. Give us a call. There's a lot of different ways to look at it. As we said, the news is 45 minutes old. You want to say tank? Go ahead. We'll talk about it. 803-0550, the number toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Donald and I back with more, ready to absorb more blows. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones on an incredible Friday here at One Bills Drive. What game?
Woke up this morning. Yeah, right?
Was there a game last night? I don't remember that game.
And people are talking about this, the Sammy Watkins. That's what people are talking about, Sammy Watkins, and forgetting that Ronald Darby was traded away as well. But for me, we always talk about Sammy Watkins. And the first thing we say is, if Sammy Watkins is healthy and on the field, that's the first thing you say when you talk about Sammy Watkins. So if he's healthy and on the field, well, I think the coaching staff feels the same way. If Sammy Watkins is healthy and on the field, if they have to say the same thing, then I don't know. You know. So now they go in, they bring in a guy who is – he's for me, he's not just a capable receiver. Like Jordan Matthews is a good receiver.
He's good.
He's a good receiver. He has been very, very productive. And like Brownie said, maybe he's just a better fit like they feel for this offense.
Yeah.
Does he have the dynamic potential of Sammy Watkins? Absolutely not.
No.
He has more production thanks to more games, Jordan Matthews. And this is not, by the way, the trade they made, but Jordan Matthews has played 9 more games, has, 72 more receptions. Mm-hmm. He's got about 2,000 more receiving yards and 2 more touchdowns. They both came in the league at the same time, Jordan Matthews versus Sammy Watkins. So, more production, different style of receiver. That's not the trade. And also, Donald, I think, by the way, let's recap in case you just tuned in. Bills have traded Sammy Watkins away. Sammy Watkins in a 6th-rounder to the Rams in exchange for a 2nd-rounder and cornerback E.J. Gaines, who has been a starter for the Rams. A second trade, the Bills traded away Ronald Darby to the Philadelphia Eagles for wide receiver Jordan Matthews in a 3rd-rounder. Let me pick this apart for a second here and think about this. What if I told you that the trade – well, let's leave Sammy Watkins out for a second. What if I told you the Bills traded Ronald Darby to the Eagles for a 3rd-round pick and Jordan Matthews? There's nothing wrong with that trade.
Right.
I mean, I like Ronald Darby. I think he came onto the scene and played pretty well. He seemed to, coming off a questionable year last year and seemed to not fit quite right in this defense. There is some cornerback depth behind him, a little bit anyway. What if we pulled it apart and just talked about that trade? Ronald Darby to the Eagles for Jordan Matthews and a 3rd-rounder.
What if that's I told a good trade. You? What if I told you that 2017 season would be a 40, 30 for 30.
30 for 30?
Yeah.
But Sammy, of course, is the headliner, and Sammy with the 4th overall pick and all that enormous potential and his injury history and the 5th-year option not being picked up, that's what makes it interesting to discuss. And we're open for discussion. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Manny calling from Buffalo. Hello, Manny. Welcome to the show.
How's it going?
Good.
I absolutely love the Sammy Watkins trade. I've been calling it for a couple weeks. I thought we would have waited maybe week 2, week 3 to get some more views from him, some more snaps, see what he's able to produce, and then trade him while he holds value. Because at the end of the year, we're either going to have to pay him a very, very hefty price if he makes it to the end of the year, because there's the chance that he goes out injured week 5, week 6, he has no value, and he walks away from us. So we pick up a player in Gaines, which is I think we could have got better value in the trade, but then we turn around and we bring in Jordan Matthews, which is a no-brainer because he's proven we've lost Sammy. Now we have someone who's producing, doesn't have a long track record with injury, and he can catch the ball, score, and be on the field consistently. Everyone goes to the argument where Tyrod Taylor may not be the future of Buffalo, but Tyrod Taylor last year had no weapons. Sammy was gone. Woods was gone. Goodwin was hurt. We're throwing to Powell, Hunter. We're throwing to nobody. So now we bring in Anquan Boldin the day after Sammy had a little bit of injury scare. He comes off the field, goes back on the field. We bring in Boldin the next day. We have Zay Jones. We have Holmes. We have Dakiel Shorts. We have a bunch of depth at the receiver position, but now we have two solid 1 and 2 with Anquan Boldin, with Jordan Matthews, and we have Zay Jones we can play wherever we see fit. But now we can really judge the whole Tyrod situation as well.
Yeah, although, Manny, I know people feel that way and are looking for ways to judge Tyrod and looking for an accurate representation. I don't think the season is about that. I've never thought it was about, well, let's see if Tyrod is a quarterback. Let's see how the season plays out. Let's see how many games they win. Let's see how many games they win with Tyrod as a quarterback. And now we're going to see how many games they win with Jordan Matthews playing receiver instead of Sammy Watkins and E.J. Gaines playing corner instead of Ronald Darby. I prefer to look at it in that sense.
Yeah,
that's me.
Let's look at on the field, right? The difference in the players on the field. Jordan Matthews, bigger guy, more of a possession type of guy. First of all, yesterday we saw in the game they like to throw fades down in the corner, which is something that Sammy Watkins is able to do, right? But let's look at the quarterback that's actually throwing the ball to him and how he likes to play out in the field. Tyrod Taylor is a guy who does like to run around a little bit. Now, you have Sammy Watkins, who has this foot, ankle. We don't know if it was going to be okay or not. That's something that, you know, we didn't have any indications that there was something wrong. But if the coaching staff doesn't trust it, you have a quarterback who is a scrambling, a mobile type of quarterback who likes to get outside the pocket, break outside the pocket. You have a guy with a foot injury. It's hard for him to break down and just have to keep on running around, right? So if I run down the field, now I have to come back. Tyrod scrambles left. Now I got to go left. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot of torque on his feet, you know. And when you break into a scramble drill, you got to be able to break down and just go different ways. So I think at the end of the day, Jordan Matthews has been on the field for them. And they don't know if Sammy Watkins is going to make it a full season. And like the caller said in the beginning, I do think, and I said this in the last segment, I do think that they were trying to be on the forefront of something. Rather than
be on top of it.
Yeah, be on top of it. Yeah. You know, rather than, okay, Sammy Watkins, we go into the season. Let's say he does get hurt. Now he has no trade value, and now we just got to let him walk away and get nothing in return for him.
Yeah.
Instead of that, you just be on top of it. He still has some trade value. He seems to be healthy right now. Teams, somebody's going to take him. Somebody's going to give us something for him. Let's go ahead and get Jordan Matthews, who, oh, by the way, one of five receivers to have the production that he's had in the first three seasons that he's been in the league.
Yeah. Interesting, you know, and there's going to be a lot of it. These trades are going to be talked about all season. And evaluated all season. And we'll keep an eye on Watkins and how he makes out with the Rams on the same roster now as Robert Woods again.
On the same roster as Robert Woods.
And obviously Jordan Matthews' numbers will be compared to Watkins. And I get it. It's unbelievably bold move by the Bills today. Mm-hmm. Unbelievably bold. Who saw this coming? Sean Hawk tweets this in. By the way, days like this give me an opportunity to mute so many people on Twitter. That
oh,
it's
man.
You know what I mean? It's kind of fun. Mute. You don't even have to block. But right. Sean Hawk, and this makes sense. And I'm not opposed to different viewpoints. I am opposed to name-calling, et cetera. But call us up. Let's talk about it. I see the other side. But Sean Hawk has an interesting tweet here. Thoughtful, I think. I appreciate the one optimistic voice for these trades, but frustration of soon-to-be 18-year drought is overwhelming. And I get that. The 17-year drought, not 18, 17-year drought colors every perception of this Bills franchise. And it's unfortunate, and it's real, and I get it. And Donald and I feel that more than anybody.
Than anybody.
You know?
Than anybody.
I know that. But this move today has nothing to do with the previous 17 years, you know, even though it's hard for fans to think like that. But I get that. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll get back to more calls. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2552. We're going to talk with Tyler Dunn of Bleacher Report at the top of the hour. We'll get his thoughts on the trade, and we'll get your thoughts as well. 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2552. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Back to the show. We've got news today from One Bills Drive. We're going to talk with Tyler Dunn of Bleacher Report about it at the top of the hour. The Bills have made a couple of blockbuster moves, huge trades. Sammy Watkins traded away. Sammy Watkins and a sixth rounder go to the Los Angeles Rams for cornerback E.J. Gaines and a second-round pick. And the Bills traded cornerback Ronald Darby to the Philadelphia Eagles for wide receiver Jordan Matthews and a third-round pick. I'm just letting that sink in. It's only an hour.
I mean,
it's only been an hour, but it's amazing.
Here's the thing.
It is amazing.
For everybody who's upset about this trade, I would say 25-30% of them will wake up tomorrow and say, you know what? This trade might be a good trade.
Maybe. We'll see. Maybe.
I mean, it's not something that we'll see until we get into the season and really get going. You know, it's I just think that they were trying to get in front of something, you know.
With Sammy. Here's a call from Carl in Lancaster. Carl, welcome. You're on the air with us.
Thank you. I think the Watkins trade is good to a certain extent. Like, getting gains, he just got into a fist fight with a couple of the Chargers teams the other day. And then the Darby trade, I like it because we're bringing a receiver that's actually healthy and produces. But we're weak on the cornerback position.
Well, let's talk about that. You know, E.J. Gaines is coming back, and he's played. Yeah, he had that fist fight. Big deal. Leonard Johnson, I think, is a guy they trust and depend on. Kevon Seymour will be coming back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, between that three, I think, among that three is the eventual starter replacement for Ronald Darby, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would think that, you know, one of them will go. Yeah, so you have E.J. Gaines. You still have Kevon. You have Leonard Johnson. I mean, I think the cornerback position is okay. You know, I think. Here's a question for you, Murph.
Okay.
Were they just trying to – I think this trade was about Sammy. They had to trade away Ronald Darby to get Jordan Matthews. Yeah. So it was like, all right, we want to trade Sammy Watkins, but we have to give away somebody so that we can get a receiver back. And that's so they had to give away a guy who was – and the Eagles are starving for cornerbacks. Like, they're truly starving for cornerbacks. So it was like, all right, let's trade – Jordan Matthews has been productive for them. Let's trade Ronald Darby. They'll give us their number one receiver. Jordan Matthews is their number one receiver. They'll give us their number one, and we'll be able to give Sammy away.
That's a good point. I'd be really interested to hear Brandon Bean. He's going to talk to the media at 4 and see if he dives into that. Like, for instance, who initiated the maybe this whole thing started with a call from the Eagles.
From the Eagles.
About Ronald Darby.
Who knows?
Hey,
maybe.
Understand that guy's not fitting in too well. We're interested. What would you think about, you know, a receiver?
Right.
And they'll say, hey, how about a receiver and a third rounder? Right. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. And we'll hear from Brandon Bean, or you will hear from Brandon Bean at 4. I'll stick around and listen to that, and Sean McDermott at 4:15. We're going to hear from Tyler Dunn from BleacherReport.com. He keeps an eye on the Bills, and he has some thoughts on this trade. He's coming up in a moment or two. And, of course, many more of your phone calls. We're going to take them all. We're going to listen to them all and make the case, whichever way you feel. You won't hurt our feelings, right?
You can't. I mean,
you can't hurt our feelings.
Not after last season.
803-05. You can't. We are so scarred up. We've got so much scar tissue.
Scar tissue.
There's just you can't hurt us. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Back with another hour of the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Drive. The Bills busy today with a couple of blockbuster trades. They have traded away wide receiver Sammy Watkins, their first-round pick 3 years ago. Sammy Watkins, the fourth overall pick in the 2014 draft, traded away along with a sixth-rounder to the Los Angeles Rams. In exchange, the Bills get cornerback E.J. Gaines and a second-round pick from the Rams. Also, corresponding trade, the Bills have traded away their second-round pick from a couple of years ago, cornerback Ronald Darby. He goes to the Philadelphia Eagles for wide receiver Jordan Matthews and a third-round pick. Two big moves by the Buffalo Bills. As it stands today, they have two picks in next year's first round, two picks in next year's second round, and two picks in next year's third round. We're talking about it for the next hour here on the show, and you're welcome to join us. Bills coming off that preseason game loss, preseason game number one last night, the 17-10 loss to the Minnesota Vikings. They will be on the field for a late afternoon practice here in Orchard Park today, and then Saturday off, the Bills will be back on the practice field at St. John Fisher College on Sunday at 2 p.m. That is a ticketed practice. You need a ticket to attend, and the Bills will finish up training camp with a couple of practices on Monday and Tuesday, those practices beginning each day at 8:45 a.m. We'll be back there live with the show coming up next Monday. Elsewhere around the National Football League on a busy day, six-game suspension for Ezekiel Elliott, the Dallas Cowboys running back, who the NFL, after a lengthy investigation of almost a year, found that Ezekiel Elliott did engage in domestic violence incident with a girlfriend a year or so ago, and he is going to miss the first six games of the upcoming season. Chicago Bears coach John Fox says he's not changing his quarterback plan after just one game, even though Mitchell Trubisky played well and Mike Glennon had a very rough start last night. The Glennon overthrew a pass that became a pick six on his second toss of the game. He finished 2 of 8 passing for 20 yards and a 0.0 quarterback rating, but no change of quarterback for the Chicago Bears. John Murphy, Donald Jones, coming to you live from One Bills Drive as we talk about the implications of this trade, what it means. You're welcome to join us, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. What do you think about the Bills trading away Sammy Watkins and Ronald Darby? They got draft picks and a couple of the players. Joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, NFL features writer at Bleacher Report, covered the Bills for the Buffalo News a couple of years ago, and have Tyler Dunn on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline with us. Tyler, thanks for coming on short notice here, and give us your thoughts. What do you think of the big moves today by the Bills?
Hey, absolutely, Murph, man. Thanks a lot for having me on again. And I mean, it's the exact opposite of everything we've seen in Western New York for most of 2 decades, right? And they haven't been making the playoffs for about 2 decades. So I think it's absolutely what the Bills had to do. I mean, they actually have a plan. They're thinking of the future, 2 firsts, 2 seconds, 2 thirds. You know, I know that there is a talent drop-off from Sammy Watkins to Jordan Matthews, and Ronald Darby's still a young corner who struggled last year. Maybe he figures it out and is a long-term starter. But, I mean, for year after year after year, I mean, you guys have seen it. It's been a team just like middling in mediocrity, convincing itself that they're a contender when they're really not. I think it's brilliant. I think it's really smart to think ahead at a loaded quarterback draft class. Think ahead, and you got to stockpile just talent. I mean, when you look at the roster, there's a lot of journeymen. There's a lot of guys who wouldn't make other 90-man rosters, and it's an indictment of the previous regime and the regimes before that regime and whoever was GM before that. So to have Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott just kind of chart out an actual plan, I think, is incredibly encouraging, even if there's people out there who just bought Sammy Watkins' jersey right before the season.
Hey, Tyler, is this a tank in your view? Are these tank moves?
I mean, it could definitely be perceived as that.
Oh, it's being perceived that way, no question.
It's a loaded word around here. But, you know, I think, I don't know, you guys probably have a better gauge than me. I think fans are ready for a tank. They're ready for a rebuild.
I'm not ready, but go ahead. I'm sorry, Tyler.
And that's where it's kind of weird. I mean, they obviously, the NFL is different than the NHL. You've got to sell 8 games at home. And this is a team that has maybe the best running back in football. I was just talking with Sean McCoy last week. I mean, he believes he's the best back in football. And if you have that player, you're not necessarily in a tank mode. If you have a Tyrod Taylor who's proven to be, you know, at least a solid or close to solid starter, you're not in tank mode. So that's where it gets a little weird. I think it's just a good move just to stockpile picks. I mean, it's always been the reverse.
Tyler, they got players back in these trades. Back. They got Jordan Matthews. He's a good NFL receiver. Doesn't have the potential of Sammy Watkins, but he comes back in one of these trades today. They got a starting caliber quarterback in E.J. Gaines. That's why I don't know that these are tank moves, but, you know, I could be wrong.
I don't know if it's a tank, but I mean, there's a talent drop off. I mean, it's a big if Sammy's healthy. I mean, he's obviously had what, 7 or 8 injuries, but if he was healthy, I mean, he might be the best player in that draft class, in what might be the best draft class ever at the position. So, I mean, Jordan Matthews has been a solid player, but yeah, I think there is a drop off there. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I think that this is absolutely what the Bills needed to do to rebuild this thing.
Now, Tyler, could there be any aspect of this that's just like Sammy Watkins is just not really a fit for this offense?
I mean, maybe, but, you know, he also had a 10-game stretch with Tyrod Taylor where he's averaging 100 yards and a touchdown over those 10 games. I mean, he demanded the ball. He said he wanted it 10 times a game. He said he got his agent involved, and he backed it up. So, I mean, he's a player. I don't want to, you know, kind of down talk Sammy Watkins. I don't know if it's about fit. I just think it's about value. And when you can add a Jordan Matthews, and they obviously signed Anquan Boldin, they're excited about Zay Jones. They have a few other players they picked up that can get by it at receiver. And it's a run first team anyways. I mean, they're going to still try to win that way. To pick up a second through the process when you might have just let Sammy Watkins walk anyways after this season, it's a win for Buffalo. And yeah, I mean, it's not like Brandon Bean made that decision a couple of years ago to mortgage a first-round pick to trade up for Sammy Watkins when Khalil Mack is having his pro day in your own facility. I mean, he didn't make these mistakes, so they got to clean up and kind of, you know, fix the mistakes from Doug Whaley's regime.
What makes it hard, I think, Tyler, to evaluate? Obviously, Sammy has, and I don't want to downgrade him either. I think he is enormously talented when healthy, as everybody says. But the health is a factor, right? And the fact that his contract is up at the end of this year is a factor, too. I think all of these considerations are part of it. And Donald and I were talking, you know, we think we know about how healthy Sammy is, and we, you know, have eyes on him every day at training camp. But the people who really know how healthy Sammy is are in this building, the medical staff, the training staff, and certainly you would think the football staff. You know, it's a risk. You know, there's an element of risk. The risk is what? Sammy might be 100% healthy and tear up the league a little bit. Or on the downside, Sammy might not be healthy and struggle with this foot thing for the rest of his career.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just the foot. It's kind of been a little bit of everything with Sammy Watkins. And you know, we tend to throw around that the injury-prone label onto guys, and it's a little premature, but look, it's been a few seasons now with Sammy Watkins, and the foot is the number one concern, and that is something that can linger. We've seen it linger with players in the past, but for whatever reason, it's just kind of been one thing or another, and it's weird because he didn't really have that problem in college. I mean, he played throughout his Clemson career, but he's gotten in the NFL, and to get a little value for him right now definitely makes sense.
Yeah, Tyler, I have to agree. I mean, get the value right now while he seems to be healthy, you know. And no one knows if he, like Murph said, if he's truly healthy. Only the people in the medical room and the coaching staff knows what's really going on in there. But you get something back for him, and I think that was a big thing. But what about the other side of the ball and Ronald Darby? What do you think? How is that a big loss for us? What do you think about that?
Well, he might have figure it out this year, but it's been up and down, right? I mean, he kind of came out as gamebusters as a rookie. Well, first, he struggled in the Carolina-Pittsburgh preseason games, and we all were kind of thrown around, not the bust label, but thinking that maybe he just can't handle the NFL game. He proved he could as a rookie. And then last year, he had his struggles. I mean, he definitely took a step back, was benched at one point. So you just don't know. I mean, he could stick as a long-term starter. I know there's people around the league who really respect Ronald Darby's game, but he's not a proven commodity yet. So that's the risk here. I mean, obviously, they're going to be throwing out a lot of young DBs against a team like New England with Rob Gronkowski, Brandon Cooks, Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman. I mean, it's kind of a murderer's row with them alone. So it's going to be difficult. But they had to do something. I mean, if you're going to go all in, you might as well try to acquire another pick for somebody. I'm not saying they should go out and just deal LeSean McCoy right now. That they're kind of in that half rebuild like we were talking earlier. But I think it's a good move just because, I mean, Ronald Darby's no short thing at this point.
We're with Tyler Dunn. He's on the line with us, Bleacher Report NFL features writer, talking about the trades today. Sammy Watkins traded away to the Los Angeles Rams for cornerback E.J. Gaines and a second rounder. Ronald Darby traded away to the Philadelphia Eagles for wide receiver Jordan Matthews and a third rounder. And you touched on it a minute ago, Tyler. Bills now going into next year's draft with two firsts, two seconds, two thirds. If you're thinking quarterback, they can do that. And by any measure, they're going to be loaded with draft capital come next April.
They really are. I mean, and you can bet they're going to have scouts at the games for all those quarterbacks. I mean, they're going to be in USC. They're going to be UCLA. They're going to be at Wyoming. You know, they have to get that pick right if that's the direction they go. You know, hey, best case scenario for Buffalo, Tyrod Taylor shuts everybody up, right, and has a career year, proves he's the franchise guy, and they try to continue to build around him and kind of the veterans they have in place. But the wheels do come off. I mean, they're going to be in position to move around in the draft. And look, the Jets are probably going to do the same thing. The 49ers are going to do the same thing. There's other teams, Cleveland, maybe they look for a quarterback, although Kaiser looked pretty good last night. There's other teams that are going to try to make a pitch at those quarterbacks. So, you know, when they passed on Patrick Mahomes and got the Chiefs' first-round pick, yeah, it was smart, but you're thinking, man, there's still going to be other teams finishing worse than Buffalo ahead of them, and it's not like they're going to pass on quarterbacks. A little more ammo now. Buffalo should be able to move around. It's kind of weird to talk about the draft already and look ahead, but I think it's smart. I mean, the Bills for so long are handing keys to the city to Terrell Owens and shelling out contracts to Langston Walker and Derek Dockery. It's been kind of win-now mode when it shouldn't be. And
you're
now
in ancient history now. That's ancient history football-wise.
Ancient history, but it's been that year after year. I mean, yeah. I don't think they've been a legit contender in a while, and they've kind of made transactions and made moves as if they are.
They meaning the old management, the old coaches, the old ownership? Okay.
Right. I think it's good to have management in place that has a plan, and it's a long-term plan.
Hey, Tyler, from what you've seen out of Tyrod Taylor to this point, you talked about, you know, a couple of years ago when Sammy was on the field and he demanded to get the ball 10 times a game, and, you know, they went over 100 yards a game. That was good to see, and fans here loved it, and we saw that potential from Sammy Watkins, and we saw what Tyrod Taylor loves to do, and that's throw the deep ball. Do you feel like Tyrod Taylor can shut everybody up if he doesn't have a Sammy Watkins on the field, doesn't have a proven guy that can go down the field and be a deep threat all the time?
That's a really good question. I don't know. I mean, that's the risk here. Is, I mean, you're taking away a player who really kind of accentuates maybe the best part of Tyrod Taylor's game, the deep ball. I mean, he throws as pretty of a deep ball as you're going to see in the NFL, and had that rapport with Sammy Watkins. So Jordan Matthews is not that player who takes the top off the defense. I mean, he'll run those intermediate routes. You know, I everything I've seen from him, it seems like he's sure-handed. He'll be reliable, but who's that player that's going to just instill fear with that deep ball, something that Tyrod does so well? I don't know. That's definitely the downside through all of this today.
Hey, Tyler, thanks for this. Thanks for carving out a few minutes to be with us on the show and talk about these incredible trades. We really appreciate it.
Hey, you got it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Tyler Dunn, he is NFL features writer for BleacherReport.com. You can catch his work there. And happy to get different viewpoints on these trades. Sammy Watkins and a sixth-rounder go from the Bills to the Rams in exchange for cornerback E.J. Gaines and a second-rounder. And then Ronald Darby goes to the Philadelphia Eagles for wide receiver Jordan Matthews and a third-round pick next year. We'll get your thoughts on it as well. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550, or via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Plenty of reaction coming in. We'll get to the phones. I want to ask you one thing, Donald. You played the position in the NFL. Look, nobody disputes Sammy Watkins' immense talent, and we've been through the health thing a lot. We've been through the fact that he's potentially a free agent, likely to be a free agent at the end of the year. Those are factors. But Sammy Watkins' game isn't perfect, and there are times, and I know we discussed it on this show a couple of days ago, you know, Tyrod Taylor sometimes plays will break down, and he's looking downfield, and there's a role for receivers to play. Yeah. At times, Sammy Watkins, I thought, struggled with the last couple of years. And again, we're not throwing shade on Sammy Watkins' potential or his performance here. He was pretty good. But this is one part of his game which I think maybe the Bills' new management didn't like what they saw there.
Yeah, and you need to be able to get into the quarterback's line of sight, you know. And if you're not that type of receiver, there's an issue there because this is a big part of this offense. I mean, Tyrod Taylor – to this point is who he is. You know, he is a guy who likes to throw on the run. He is a guy who, you know, when the play breaks down, I need you to get open still. And some quarterbacks are like that, you know. And so if you're not the guy that continues, and like you said, not to throw shade on Sammy Watkins, but if you're not the guy that is able to get open or continues to work to get into the quarterback's line of sight, then, you know, the coaching staff has to make sure that they have people on the field that do that. Because ultimately, look, this is the quarterback that we have right now. This is how we have to play this game. And if we can't win because everybody's not able to get into the quarterback's line of sight, then there's a problem on the field.
Another thing I want to talk to you about, and again, drawing on your experience as a player and a player who fought his way onto the roster here in Buffalo. So the Bills shipped out one talented number one receiver today and brought in another talented receiver, maybe not the same potential, you know, caliber of talent. But the numbers are the same at receiver. But the equation has changed, and there are guys on the current roster, receivers, down the line, and I'm talking, you know, after Jordan Matthews and after Anquan Boldin in particular. Who does this benefit, do you think, this trade, to bring in Jordan Matthews and to lose Sammy Watkins? What are we talking about? Rod Streeter, a beneficiary of this
move
today,
do
you think?
Number one who it benefits is Zay Jones. Zay Jones is a guy who, yes, he's looking at this like, wow, like, all right. You know, they're bringing in a guy who has been productive. They just brought in Anquan Boldin. Like, I truly have a shot to get some playing time in this offense. You know, they drafted me high. They traded up to draft me, which means that they like me. So, yeah, I have a shot to get into this offense and truly make some plays. Behind behind him, you have a guy like Rod Streeter who has really showed the coaching staff something in training camp. And I think, yeah, they want to give him a shot. I was kind of upset last night that we didn't get a chance to see him make plays last night.
Right.
You know, and that had a lot to do with the pass pro wasn't up to par. The quarterbacks couldn't get anything off, you know, when he was in with the second team yesterday. I wanted to see if he can make that transition from camp to from training camp to preseason games and look the same way on the field. But he is a receiver who has produced in his league, you know, and I think he's looking at this like, oh, man, like Sammy's not here. Like, this is a good shot for me now.
Yeah.
Like, I can step up and make plays, you know. I can be possibly the deep threat on this team.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what you're looking for, I guess.
You got to find
Philly
out
Brown.
Who your deep threat is. Like, I understand – And Brownie was talking about this offense. This offense is it truly is more of a dink and dunk type of offense, you know. But at the same time, you still need to have a threat, a deep threat on your team. Maybe Rod Streeter,
Philly Brown
could be that guy. One of these young guys has to step up and be that deep threat. I think that Rod Streeter is looking at this like, I can be that guy. You know, I can truly be that guy. And Zay Jones, even though he's never been used in that way, Zay Jones' 40 time was pretty fast, you know, so maybe he could be that guy. Maybe he can be that guy who goes up top every now and then just to keep the defense honest. Who knows? Well, one of these young guys has to step up.
The equation has changed dramatically at receiver in particular. The Bills trading away Sammy Watkins today and a sixth rounder to the Rams in exchange for cornerback E.J. Gaines and a second rounder. They traded away cornerback Ronald Darby to the Eagles. For wide receiver Jordan Matthews, they get a third rounder in addition. What do you think? 803-0550, toll free 1-888-550-2550, the number. Take a call here from Dan in Austin, Texas. Hello, Dan. Welcome. You're on
the air. They get a third rounder.
Hey, Dan, you got to turn down the radio sound. Are you there, Dan? No, Dan. Sorry, Dan. We were looking for you. Can we get this call on? Michael in Utica. Michael, are you there?
No Michael in Utica. Maybe the fans are still trying to get over this thing.
I'm still trying to get over it. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550. Sammy Watkins traded away
just about
an hour and a half ago.
Some of these young guys have to step up, you know. Anquan Boldin is going to be huge for Tyrod Taylor. He's really going to be a security blanket for Tyrod Taylor, a guy who catches the ball, who really catches the ball all the time. Like, Anquan Boldin is a tough receiver, been on the field, catches the ball anywhere on the field. Jordan Matthews has to come in here and make plays. You know, he's been productive. I don't see any signs of a drop-off or anything like that. Jordan Matthews is going to come in here and say, you know what? They just got rid of their number one receiver. Because Jordan Matthews, even though he's been their most productive receiver down in Philly, they brought in some guys to, you know, to be the number one and the number two. And Torrey Smith and the guy from Chicago. I forget his name right now. It's too much going on. The guy from the guy from Chicago. And Jordan Matthews was going to be the number three. He was really going to be just the slot guy. So coming in here, Jordan Matthews, from what I understand, from my recollection, ran a 4.46 in his combine. So he's not slow by any means. He's just never been really used as a deep threat type of receiver. But he's going to come in here and say, you know what? I have an opportunity to be the number one receiver on this team and come in here and just make plays. And this type of offense might not need a true, true deep threat. You know, the Patriots, this is the first year they really have a true deep threat since they had Randy Moss. They've always just played dink and dunk football as an extension of their run game. This offense is a run offense. Like, let's not make any mistakes. This offense is a run-first offense. We saw it last night in the first preseason game. This running game is going to be good. You have receivers, and maybe they want to use their passing game as an extension of their run game by different, you know, get the ball out quick, and not have to sit back there and throw the ball down the field. I understand that, look, you need a big play, but you want to move the chains. If you can't move the chains, we got a problem.
Let us know what you think. We'll listen to any comments. You think it's a tank? You think it's a good move? You're worried about it? We'll listen to you. We're here to talk about it. Tony in Orchard Park. Tony, what do you think about the trades? What do you make of it?
The season ticket holder since 1965, I think it's ridiculous. This is why this franchise is in such trouble.
Why are they in trouble?
Pardon me? Why are they in trouble?
Are they in trouble? I guess that's what I'm asking, yeah.
I truly believe so. They already have a lack of talent. If they needed a cornerback, then they should have kept Stephon Gilmore. Instead, they let him walk. how many people are you going to keep letting walk out the door that are talented players because you can't afford them because you signed players that are just not worth the amount of money that we pay for them? But yet you're letting first-round draft picks walk away. You let second-round draft picks walk away. You let good wide receivers walk away.
Okay, I get that. Yeah, and that's, in his own way, that's a legitimate point. Part of this, Donald, and it pains me to say it, but when there's a constant churn of decision-makers, coaches and general managers, stuff like this happens.
Yeah.
You know, Brandon Bean has no ties to Sammy Watkins, no matter what they, how they traded up to get him. He has no ties to Sammy Watkins. He has no ties to Ronald Darby, not his picks. Same can be said for Sean McDermott. They've been given an opportunity here to rebuild a franchise for the long term. And as Chris Brown said, they want to have short-term gains and long-term gains. That's a difficult balancing act, but I believe that's what they're trying to do. But this is what happens. Talent walks out the door. And by the way, on Gilmore, let the Patriots pay him that much money. He's
right.
Not worth it.
Like, come on. If the Bills would have gone out and given him $15 million a year, then we'd be talking about, well, we're still in cap trouble. Like, I think they're trying to, which they brought in a good receiver, a guy who has been very productive, and a cornerback that has started multiple years in this league as well. So you brought in some talent, maybe not the same level of talent, but you did bring in talent, guys that probably fit your system, in your opinion, maybe better than the guys that you let walk. You get lighter in your cap, and then you pick up draft picks as well for the future. So
yeah,
you're working on the present and the future at the same time.
It's hard to do. Let's see if they can pull it off. Scott calling from Long Island. Hi, Scott. Welcome. You're on the air.
Okay, thanks. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
So from this fan's perspective, I was absolutely shocked, right, when the news hit about Sammy Watkins being traded. I mean, I guess he hit town in a lightning flash and he left in a lightning flash. Wow. Sammy's gone. I really couldn't believe it. But now thinking about it a little bit, I think a key for the new regime was the risk of keeping Sammy and, the uncertainty about his injury and how he would react. I think they were looking both long-term and short-term. And I think overall, you really have to look at both of the trades today as a kind of package. And I don't know, is it possible that neither other trade partner saw it that way and the Bills had it in their mind?
Saw it which way? What do you mean, Scott?
Well, they got back. They essentially traded on the rosters. They traded a wide receiver and got a wide receiver and traded a cornerback and got a cornerback, but to different teams. So you wonder what the conversations were like with their trade partners and when it all came together.
Yeah, I do too. I don't know how deeply Brandon Bean might get into that at 4 o'clock today when he meets the media. I would love to know that story. As Donald and I were saying, I'd love to know who made the first call.
Right.
Eagles desperate for help at cornerback. Maybe they make the first call. There's certainly connections between Sean McDermott and the Eagles front office, but I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever find out, but I would love to know who initiated these trades, and which came first, basically.
Right. And the talk about Sammy's, injury, information. I mean, is this trade pending physicals?
Yeah, most all trades are.
Yeah, all
you're
trades
right.
Are.
We talked about that. Donald and I talked about that during a break.
So don't expect to hear anything about that at 4 o'clock, for sure.
What do you mean?
Right?
The physical?
They can't talk about his physical condition because it's pending. The whole trade is pending physical.
Right. I mean, look, well, I think the expectation is he's going to pass. He's been cleared by the doctors here and has been
practicing, played
last night. It would be a shock if the Rams came up with something, but I wouldn't look for that to happen. But sure, that's the last piece of what has to happen. Sure.
So yeah, a couple other quick points. I agree with you guys that it's not a tank because we know a tank when we see it, and a tank is like you guys are saying. We got real players back. It was like when the Sabres traded for an injured, Kane, right? When they traded one of their best players for a guy that wouldn't play till next year. We knew that was the tank when they had to assure that, it's different, though, because it's a totally different situation in the NFL than it was when we had the chance to finish last and be assured of Eichel.
Yeah, it doesn't work in football, I don't think. Even the Jets situation, is as bleak as that has been, I don't think a tank will work for them. We've talked about that a lot on the show, and you're absolutely right, Scott. They got real players back. Did they match up? Well, the numbers on Matthews versus Watkins match up, but I would not tell you that the dynamic potential of Sammy Watkins is less than Jordan Matthews. No. In fact, Sammy has dynamic game-breaking potential, which has been, kept under wraps for, more than a year because of his injury history, and that's an issue. The contract is an issue. Being a potential free agent, that factors into moves
Murph,
like this.
You've been around this game a long time. You've talked to a lot of GMs, talked to a lot of coaches, and they'll tell you you get fired on potential.
Yeah.
That's the truth, And another saying is you don't make the club in the tub. I mean, not that Sammy was trying to make the club and not trying to throw him under the bus, but the fact is he's had this injury that has kept him off the field. Not saying he's injury prone. He's had this one injury that has kept him off the field.
Tricky injury.
Yes, it's a very tricky injury, especially playing the position that he plays. So if you had this issue that has kept him off the field, you have a new coaching staff that's trying to turn this thing around. It's like, okay, Sammy's good right now. Let's see if we can get something for him. We can get a solid player back, same production, different type of player, same production on the field. Let's see if we can get something back.
That's a good point.
I think that's the biggest thing.
I mean, look, and we're not downgrading Sammy. He is a really good player when healthy. But if something were to happen to him, a setback for the foot, his trade value would plummet.
Plummet.
There's no way they'd get a starting caliber corner and a second-round pick in return.
Right.
His trade value would plummet. Again, I really want to hear what Brandon Bean says, but it seems to me that would be a risk that a prudent general manager might not want to take.
Yeah. He wouldn't do that because at that point, then it's like anytime you go to make a trade or call somebody, it's like, nah, you send out damaged goods. Like, We don't want to make that. I mean, there's relationships involved in this thing.
A lot of different ways to look at this. It goes beyond just, taking out your rubber stamp and going, tank. I think it's fascinating. I think it's a fascinating couple of moves by the Bills today. And we'd like to hear your thoughts on it as well. The phone lines remain open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones. We're live at One Bills Drive talking about the events of the day. This point of the show, we typically do fake news, real news.
Yes, real news.
Somebody suggested this could have been like a fake news thing, and the Bills have traded away Sammy Watkins, fake or real. It's real.
It's real. I mean, when you first heard it, it was like, is this fake?
I thought they were pulling my leg. They were telling me, I said, oh, yeah, okay, right. But they did it. It's amazing. It's a huge deal. Sammy Watkins traded away. Watkins goes to the Rams. Watkins in a sixth-rounder in exchange for cornerback E.J. Gaines and a second-round pick next year. Ronald Darby goes to the Eagles for wide receiver Jordan Matthews and a third-round pick next year. Two picks in the first, two in the second, two in the third for the Bills in next year's draft. Players coming back their way as well. What do you think? 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550.
Let me tell you, Coach McDermott and Brandon Bean have showed guts. Well, starting with Coach McDermott, the draft night when he decided to trade back 17 spots, still got a good draft pick in Tre'Davious White, who's looking like and probably is going to be your number one corner.
Sure.
So if you would have said, look, we're going to trade back 17 spots in the draft, which I remember myself saying, like, they can't trade back past, 15 or something. Right. They go back to 27.
Right.
And they still pick up a good draft pick, And then they traded up a couple of times and got good players as well. And then you look back the last part, and then you got next year's first-round pick for that. You got the last pick, the last two picks in the draft, or close to the last two picks. You get two linebackers that are showing promise in this year's draft. So those moves in this draft and then these moves with this trade shows that they are not afraid to make moves like this.
They're putting their stamp on the team for sure.
Yes, they are.
Here is Mike in Utica. Hello, Mike. Welcome.
Hello. How are you today?
We're great. Thank you.
I was a little upset when I first heard about everything that went on today. Had about an hour and a half now to reflect on it. And
hearing your guys' points have really helped come along with it. But my question is, do you guys think this was more of a move made by the coach and GM to try and get in players that they really like and they really want to see something from and try and get away from some of the things that were from the previous administration? And do you think Tyrod Taylor's safe with the way that Peterman played yesterday, considering he was one of their draft picks?
Yeah, I think Tyrod Taylor is fine, at least for this year. I think he's fine unless we get into the season and he's just terrible, you know, and Peterman looks that much better than Tyrod Taylor. I think Tyrod Taylor is your starting quarterback because he adds a different dimension and dynamic to this offense. But in terms of the move itself, I think that, you know, and Brownie talked about this, I do think that they want to have guys on their team that fits their team. I mean, look at free agency. The guys that they brought in, they wanted to make sure, number one, high-character guys and guys that fit our team. You know, guys that fit our team, guys that fit our schemes. That is some of the biggest things that they like. You know, we need to have guys that fit our scheme. The names, all of that stuff, potential, none of that stuff matters. What matters is we have guys that are high-character guys and guys that fit our scheme and can be on the field all the time.
Call here from Dan in Austin, Texas. Go ahead, Dan. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, John and Don. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, quick comment about Sammy and also a question from last night. Regarding the Sammy trade, the reason I'm kind of frustrated about the news today is because of Stefania Bell's comments. You know, her comments both on your show and on her podcast with Matthew Berry and Field Yates, they're just so encouraging about his status and how he looked compared to last season. That's kind of what makes it such a tough pill to swallow for me, because I really respect what she says about Bob Anderson mm-hmm. and Sammy and their relationship and kind of the information she's getting from
that. Yeah, let me talk about that, and we're not cutting you off here. I thought about that too, and I guess, you know, there's a difference between Stefania Bell, who does a great job, and the guys who actually have the medical info and intel on Sammy Watkins, right? You would agree with that, I would think, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so go ahead. Yep.
No, that's okay. And then my question to you is in regards to Reggie Ragland last night. I know he, you know, granted he was playing against twos and threes, but I just thought I'd see, you know, do you think he's going to be ready to be a starter with the ones during the actual real season, or do you think he's going to, you know, the health is going to hold him back?
I think at this point it's not necessarily the health, it's the mental side of things. You know, it's being able to pick up a new defense, being able to come back from that knee injury, which it takes guys some time to come back from, and pick up a new defense at the same time, and do all of this stuff without playing at all last year in your rookie season. So I think it's going to take some time for him. I don't know if he'll be ready for week one to be a starter. That's something that we just don't know.
Yeah, I think it's looking increasingly unlikely that
right.
that'll be the
that
case.
He'll be a starter week one.
I will say this, and you mentioned it earlier. I was somewhat impressed by the way Ragland played. I mean, he hasn't. I talked to him in the locker room yet last night. He hasn't played in a football game in a year and a half
since
the national championship.
Yeah, since the national championship.
I saw some bursts of speed. I saw some of the explosiveness. There was rust as well, as the caller pointed out. He slipped and fell at least once, but. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's a process. It's a journey. I don't, again, to say he'll be a starter in week one, I think is a long shot at this point. But we'll see where it goes. I think there are a lot of eyes on Reggie Ragland and a lot of people watching his development and seeing what he's got and how he feels.
Yeah, I have to agree. I think it's just going to take some time for him. You know, maybe he'll come on. Maybe he can be ready for week one. Maybe he'll be ready by the middle of the season. You know, but it takes time for a guy that hasn't played in a game since the national championship game. What was that, 2 years ago now? I mean,
a year and a half.
Yeah, a year and a half. So it takes some time. This guy's never played at this level. So yesterday he was out there like, ooh, man, like, you know, maybe the game is moving fast. I gotta get used to this stuff. I haven't played in a game in a long time. So you see him slip and fall. I mean, it happens. He also did make some plays.
Yeah, I thought so too. Here's Chris calling from Buffalo. Hello, Chris. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of get my thoughts on both the trades. I think that it's not necessarily the worst thing in the world that could have happened to us. I know we gave up Sammy, who is a very talented wide receiver, but you got back a starting wide receiver, and you gave up Darby, who is, you know, our number one corner right now, but again, you got back a starting corner. I don't think it's necessarily going to affect this season as much as, you know, people are saying tank, tank, tank. I think – those two players are great players, but they're not necessarily going to change the outcome of this season by themselves. I think that having the two first-round picks, the two second-round picks, and the two third-round picks next season gives us a little bit more of an opportunity for the future. I basically don't necessarily think this is a full-on tank. I don't think that we're going to have, you know, a great season either way, with or without Sammy. But I do think that they're preparing for the future to get some people in place, like they did this year, who are going to be, like you guys have been saying, high character quality players and can actually, you know, get us out of this drought that we've been in.
Okay, that's good. Thank you, Chris. Thanks for calling. Here's an interesting tweet, Donald, which got me thinking. Andrew Patterson cites media in L.A. and Philadelphia. He said, both L.A. and Philly media use terms like upgrades and improvements. Rams and Eagles improve with trade to the Bills.
Do they improve?
Yeah, right away? I don't know. It's interesting to think about. They get the Bills. The Bills get draft capital for next year. That's pretty high up on the list. They get a reliable, productive receiver in Jordan Matthews. Certainly not the dynamic potential of Sammy Watkins. And they get a starting caliber corner and lose a starting caliber corner for the Bills. So do they improve this year? Maybe not. Long term, yeah, to get those picks, I think.
To get those picks, yeah. But this year, maybe not. Maybe so. Maybe they get a receiver that catches, like we said.
Maybe they get a receiver who plays 16 games.
16 games will catch 80 balls for you and get close to 1,000 yards. Last year, I believe he had like 700, 800 yards, you know. So a guy who was on the field, that is huge for your team, you know, and it's huge for your quarterback. Last year, we didn't have it. We didn't have the guys stay on the – and I'm talking guys, all of the receivers. We didn't have them on the field last year. So now you bring in, even though Anquan Boldin is older, a guy who played 16 games last year, a guy in Jordan Matthews who played, 16 games last year? Most of the games last year?
Yep.
16 games. I mean, a guy that has truly produced. He was second on their team in receiving behind one of their tight ends. I mean, this guy, he's just been on the field, you know? So I think that's huge for Tyrod Taylor and for the coaching staff.
A couple of interesting more tweets. Get a couple of them now. And now, 2 hours removed from the actual announcement of the trade.
Yeah.
I love the way people's brains kick in.
Yeah, it's like you got to calm down for a second.
We were shocked.
Because we were shocked. I mean, we were. Wait, what?
Yeah, but I like the way – and people, I mean, the listeners, the callers, some of the people on Twitter have some interesting, thoughtful comments. Brendan Hughes tweets in, what baffles me is that 3/4 of our fan base act like this wasn't Sammy's last year as a Bill, and at least we got value. I'm not sure that it was his last year, but certainly the prospect was out there. This could be his last and only year with the Rams, too, because, you know, because of the final year of his contract, unless they got, unless they've got something in mind.
The biggest thing is potential. Sammy Watkins has crazy, crazy potential. Jordan Matthews is a guy who has produced. There's a difference there.
Imagine how hard it is to trade away a guy with that much potential.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you're rolling the dice on your career. If Sammy Watkins becomes Odell Beckham Jr., which when healthy, we said that about 3,000 times,
right.
He could be in that category. He could be.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be hard to deal
That's
with
hard
a guy
to deal
like
with.
That.
And Ronald Darby, who showed in his first season signs of being, this dude is good. His second year, not as good. You know.
Here's another thoughtful tweet, which you don't come across very often. Kinetic Convict, Whaley added players like this was a playoff team. New regime adding players to be a playoff team. Wild trades, but they were smart. I got to think about that, too. I think that's an interesting distinction.
Say it one more time.
Whaley added players like this already was a playoff team. Mm-hmm. This is the tweet from Kinetic Convict. The new regime adds players to be a playoff team. Wild trades, but they are smart. I think they're bold.
Yeah,
time will tell how smart they are.
Right, and that's what time will definitely tell. And you think I do have to think about that as well. Whaley did it like it was a playoff team. This regime doing it like it will be a playoff team.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that.
I think there's – here's the thing. I think they're trying to I don't want to say rebuild. I think they're trying to rebuild this thing, but at the same time win right now. And it's hard to do. It's truly hard to do. You know, like we need to turn this whole thing around. And when we say rebuild, I think they just want the guys that they want on the team, guys that that fit their scheme. You know, and guys from the old regime, regardless of how talented you might be potentially, you might not fit the scheme, you know. So –
We need guys that fit our scheme. So in that aspect, yes, it is a rebuild type of thing. But at the same time, we're trying to win right now. Yeah. And it's just tough to do.
We should have time for a call or two when we come back in a moment. John Murphy, Donald Jones coming back with the John Murphy Show. We are live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
It's presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. What did we learn? We learned a lot, and it all went down about 10 minutes to 1 today when the Bills announced the big trades. Chris Brown, Bills insider, BuffaloBills.com, joined us today to give us his take on the two trades, the two blockbuster trades the Bills made today.
You've got guys that were in number one spots at their respective positions on this roster. You got players back who may not be quite as dynamic athletically as those two players, but I think there's proven production coming back in the door in form of Jordan Matthews, and I think with respect to E.J. Gaines, it's a player who came back from injury last year successfully in 2016 and will be able to fill a role, I believe a starting role, in the secondary here in 2017. So you moved some top-shelf talent out. You've got talent coming back that at least is proven.
Chris Brown from BuffaloBills.com. We talked with Tyler Dunn, who is with Bleacher Report, covered the Bills for a while for the Buffalo News. He says the moves the Bills made today, he calls them brilliant.
I think it's absolutely what the Bills had to do. I mean, they actually have a plan. They're thinking of the future, two firsts, two seconds, two thirds. You know, I know that there is a talent drop-off from Sammy Watkins to Jordan Matthews, and Ronald Darby's still a young corner who struggled last year. Maybe he figures it out and is a long-term starter. But, I mean, for year after year after year, I mean, you guys have seen it. It's been a team just like middling in mediocrity, convincing itself that they're a contender when they're really not. I think it's brilliant. I think it's really smart to think ahead at a loaded quarterback draft class. Think ahead, and you got to stockpile just talent.
I don't know, brilliant. That's Tyler's word. I don't know, brilliant. I think it's shocking, and I think it's bold more than anything. Unbelievable. All right, we're out. Donna, we'll see you Monday at training camp. We'll see you as well on Monday with the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.